The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
I thought we were safe after the BS. I didn't realise there was a B coming up as well. I mean, I eased off after the BS. I thought, well, we're clear. She won't. Oh, there's a B. Okay. We had to do a dump in the middle of the first song of the first hour. Just as I'm desperately trying to cling onto my sanity and my career, I go and play a sweary song. Unbelievable!
That's how you mix out of a song there, is when you, it gets a bit tricky, you just play that. Wow. And you know, hey, Catherine.
Yeah.
Where were you Friday?
Really drunk.
Yeah. You missed a great show. Anyway, 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You know, skin of our teeth. Skin of our teeth. You can call in about almost anything. Several things. First things first, no spoilers, but I went and saw Shazam today. It's a masterpiece. Me and my boys, I said to the boys, I said, well, that's the best film I've seen in a couple of years. My youngest said it's the best film he'd ever seen. We all came out, we all gave it 10 out of 10. That makes 30 out of 30. It is the first DC superhero film. Oh, I'm Ian Lee. That's Catherine Boyle typing away in the background, being hip. It's the first DC superhero film that is brilliant, that is actually worth seeing. It's funny. It's moving. The actors are incredible. It's a spoiler alert. It's not a spoiler, right? It's one of those films you've got to stick around to after the credits, right? But I will say, I never thought I would laugh so hard Father Christmas dropping the F-bomb. I mean, it was funny. And my boys went, oh, as they always do when there's a swear in a film, oh, there it goes. And they said that quite a few times. It's a little bit sweary. The F-bomb is bleeped, in case you're thinking of taking children. It's a funny film. And I don't know, here's the thing. I don't know any of the actors in it. I vaguely recognise the bad guy. Didn't recognise any of the kids. Didn't recognise the guy that plays grown-up Shazam. But he was great at playing a 14-year-old kid in a man's body. How old are you, son? I'm basically 15. He was so good at it. He was so good. Such a good movie. I'm not going to say any more about it because I don't want to give spoilers, but I want to discuss it with people that aren't just my kids, although we were totally taking it apart. Such a good film. Laughs. Pathos. I don't know what that means, but it's, you know.
Sad and emotional moments. Touching moments.
Oh, no, there's none of that.
Oh.
I retract the pathos. No, there was plenty of that. It was good. It was good. And it wasn't too long. The battle at the end. All right, I could have shaved 5 minutes off. But it was great. Beautifully done. Just full of these wonderful, one-liners. I mean, anyway, I'm not going to say. It's a really good film. That's my recommendation to you tonight, dear listener. Go and see Shazam. And we went and saw it, the Odeon in Maidenhead.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where we went and saw it. That bizarrely, they've chosen the Easter holidays to do massive refurb work. So all the screens were closed apart from one. But what they're doing, good for them, they're taking out all the seats and putting in recliner seats in all of them. And so we sat in these seats. I think, oh, these are nice, comfortable seats. Oh, hang on, there's a button. And I'm lying down.
Oh, there's a mechanism.
And the boys looked at me and I went, I don't think yours do it, boys. It's only mine. And they said, oh, no, let's swap. And then we found the buttons and we're all just like, for the whole advert. Oh, it was great. It was great. And then after that, we 0344 499 1000, by the way. On the way, it was in Maidenhead, so I'm kind of naming where this place is, I suppose.
Well, you're exactly naming it.
Well, I'm exactly naming it. We drove past a mini golf, right? The boys love mini golf. Right? I hate mini golf. I like the idea of mini golf.
How soon into it do you get bored?
The hole two.
Yeah.
Because I always go third, and by that point they don't care. And they also cheat. Uh-huh. And I said, guys, can we have no cheating today? Now, of course, no cheating means if their first shot is bad, they can take it again several times. Uh-huh. If the ball goes off the thing, they can just put it back wherever they want. If the ball is moving, they can stop it with their foot or their clubs and then push it forwards a little bit. I still beat them. Still beat them.
Mini golf is still a sore subject in my family. I'm 42 this year.
Oh,
and
gosh, happy birthday.
A mini golf game that happened when I was 14 has still left a very bitter taste in my mother's mouth.
Oh, wow. Why? Did she get hit with a ball?
No, she was the only one who was playing it properly, apparently.
Oh.
Don't get us started. If you ever meet her, just don't mention
it. Let me play
golf
with your mum, because I have that vibe as well. Every holiday, it's awful. Play by the rules.
She's still really annoyed about it.
Well, today is the first time I played properly and I beat them.
Yeah.
I beat them because I thought, well, I'm not going to do the dad thing then. I'm going to play, and I destroyed them. But it was very small mini golf. I mean, it was mini golf.
Yeah.
It was 9 holes, but we got to play it twice to make it up to 18. But even the course was tiny. The lady was, you know, I saw her tell another kid off. It wasn't crazy golf, it was mini golf.
Oh, don't confuse the two.
Well,
no.
But there was like just rocks. All there were rocks, and the kid got told off for standing on a rock. A rock was 8 inches high.
Wow.
And a kid got told off for standing on a rock.
Was there no windmill that you had to negotiate sales of?
There's none of that. There was a good bit where you had to get the ball in like the stream, and the stream carried it down, then put it out. I don't think you were meant to, but we interpreted the hole as you've got to get it in that, and then the stream would carry it down and fut it out. Fut. I said fut. For everybody, for all the journalists listening tonight, I said fut. And it was kind of packed, so there was a lot of, you know, waiting for next, which is fine. I don't mind that. I'm more than happy to wait. But the people behind me weren't quite so happy to wait. But I'm happy to wait. I'm not going to play. It was not a great mini golf experience.
But it took up what, an hour of your time?
40 minutes.
40 minutes.
17 quid.
My.
40 minutes.
Well,
17 quid for 40 minutes. How much would you pay for 40 minutes of your... The kids loved it, man. The kids loved it. What am I going to do? Deprive them the pleasure? Well, 17 quid is a lot of money these days. And as who sang Money's Too Tight to Mention?
Simply Red, isn't it?
Was it?
Oh, money, money, money.
What was their first hit?
Was it If You Don't Know Me By Now?
Nope. I don't think it was. No, there was
it
like,
not Money's Too Tight to Mention?
I thought there was one before Money's Too Tight to Mention. I thought there was one before it. I tell you who I miss.
I had a Simply Red album once on a cassette.
Stars?
No, okay. New Flame. I didn't like Stars.
I like the song Stars. I think it's a great song. I'm going to fall from the stars.
I didn't like For Your Babies. That got on my nerves.
No, I didn't like that. I mean, I tell you who I miss a lot, actually.
Martine McCutcheon.
Hey, we've got Noel Sullivan from here, formerly of Hearsay. I mean, that's 20 years ago. He's done loads of stuff. He's coming in tomorrow night.
Good.
Oh, he's coming in. Can't wait. Cannot wait. We're going to have a good old chat. I miss the River City people.
Oh.
When are they going to do a follow-up to their excellent cover version of whichever of the Mamas and Papas songs it was they did?
It was California
was
Dreaming, because I won it at a kind of pre-karaoke...
One.
Yeah, yes. A pre-karaoke karaoke party.
Okay.
Before karaoke had been brought to this country, I think.
Yes.
We had a school disco, yeah. And the DJ decided he was going to give prizes for people to sing along.
Okay.
And I won the River City people California Dreaming.
Oh, that's incredible scenes.
On the single.
I tell you what, I got sent
this
week.
I don't think
week.
He wanted it anymore.
Thank you to my friend Val at Demon Records for sending me this, right? He sent it to me because I got, you know, I got a little record label, got Marnie stuff out. Yes. Got the Frank Sidebottom, Chris Seavey soundtrack out. Almost sold out, guys. We've almost broke even on it. And I sent him a couple of the Frank Sidebottom records, and he said, well, have a look at our thing. If there's anything you fancy, let us know and we'll send it as a thing. But I was like, all right, fine. So I had a little look. And I said, well, look, I'm really tempted by the Belinda Carlisle Greatest Hits.
Ooh.
Really tempted by that. I said, and I will happily take that Belinda Carlisle Greatest Hits. But I notice you also have a 13-disc box set. Now, you may think me asking for this 13-disc box set is outrageous. Catherine, stay there. We're going to come to you in a second. Is outrageous?
I'm here.
No, there's another one.
There can't be another one.
Yeah. You may think me asking for a 13-disc box set is outrageous and ridiculous. If so, absolutely fine. Don't send it to me. I will happily take the best of Belinda Carlisle. Well, today, dear listener, I got a huge package. Huge package. It's a 13... It's like vinyl size, but they're CDs. I'm going to bring it in tomorrow. It's amazing. 13-disc box set of Debbie Gibson.
Did she do did she do 13 discs?
This is the thing. I suspect at least three of those discs are going to be remixes.
Because I've got a greatest hits and it's got like 12 songs on it.
Here's the thing, right? The first two albums, Electric Youth and Out of the Blue, great. Mm-hmm. Great. What was the one that... Oh, the one with the whistle in him. Shake your love, I just can't shake your love.
Shake
your love, I just can't shake your love. So anyway, those two songs are great. I've got 13 albums of that
of those
stuff.
Songs.
Yes, man. I'll bring them in tomorrow so you can see my Debbie Gibson collection.
Woo,
is bigger than yours.
What a treat.
Here's the fun thing, though, guys. We finally have the membership cards, some plastic wallets, and we've not taken it out of the box yet.
So we don't know if it works.
We have it work. It come from Amazon. We have a laminator.
I think we should do a couple just to check.
We have a laminator. So if you want a membership card, dear listener, there's only 100 of them. It's 250, I would like. 0344 499 classy cards. 03, very classy, burgundy with a gold inlay. 0344, the very finest that Vistaprint could offer at their cheapest price. 0344. Don't dial all those 0344s. I just gave a lot. So the phone number starts here.
Now.
0344 499 1000. Membership cards are plenty. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Let's go to... It just says the London area.
It's none of your business.
It's Catherine in the London area. Good evening, Catherine, in the London area.
Good evening, Ian. Hello, Catherine.
Hiya.
Can we ask... I don't want the street. I remember once I asked someone, so where exactly are you? And they said number 42.
Oh.
And they gave the address. So don't do that. Where roughly? You sound North London.
I'm actually in Bushey in Hertfordshire.
Oh. Well, that's not really London.
It's a London area compared to Manchester.
It's a Bushey area. Okay. All right, Catherine. Well, you're live on Talk Radio, home of the hits. What would you like to say this evening?
Right, a couple of things. I mean, I've spoken to you before a couple of times. I'm the lady with the...
You're not very well, are you?
No, I've got...
How's it going? You've got cancer, I remember now. Yes, how's it going?
Yeah, fine. I'm fine. Yeah, a bit of a rough day today, but yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, good.
First thing is I don't know how you feel. I know religion and everything is not your bag, but...
Oh, we're going straight... 20 minutes past 10 on a Monday night, we're going into religion. Let's do it! Let's do it!
I just wondered about your feelings on the devastation on Notre Dame.
Well, I don't think you have to be religious, do you, to watch it? And it's horrific.
Yeah.
Kath, I know, has stronger connections with France than I do. She speaks the lingo, parlez-vous franglais. It's horrific.
Yeah,
really
sad.
Kath, go on. You've been there. I've been there a long time ago. But.
I used to live in Paris, and it was one of the... I remember taking my parents out to eat somewhere on the very rare occasions I got to take anyone out to eat because I was so poor there. And it was beautiful. It was a really beautiful evening, and Notre Dame was a spectacular place. And I know they're really proud of it and justify. Probably so. 1,200 years of history.
Yeah. Is it? I don't know much, because I saw it as I was coming in. It's horrendous. It's horrendous, right? Is it the hunchback? The hunchback that's done it? We know that for sure. Have we seen him? Has he got out? Were the bells pissing him off? What is it, Esmeralda? What's happening? What's happening with the hunchback?
Spoiler alert, the hunchback didn't end well for him.
Hey.
No. That's right. I thought it was devastation from a historical building's point of view, and it was somewhere on my bucket list to go.
We should take a bucket filled with water and chuck it at it.
I knew you were going to say that.
Ah, come on! I'm not up to full strength. Not doing my best.
Also, I wanted to say that Friday night's show was absolutely fantastic.
Gosh,
I mean, it was so good.
Wow.
It was really good.
I don't know if you heard all of it.
It was Friday night, I'm sure it was. Will Storr you heard on?
Oh, no, Will Storr was... you might have heard him on Saturday as part of the best of, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, we had Will Storr on... Was it Monday or Tuesday,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, I think it was...
Oh.
So it might have been part of the best of that went out on Saturday.
Well, it was wonderful.
He's good, isn't he, Will? He's
absolutely
good value for money.
I've just ordered all his books.
Oh, start with Versus the Supernatural, because that, for me, is my favourite.
Well, it will probably be mine, because I used to have a paranormal group, so I'm really interested in reading anything about it.
Catherine, read it, enjoy it, let us know how you get on. Now, thank you for that. Now, people want membership cards. June has texted us. June says, how can I get a membership card when there is no one around to answer my phone when you call me back? I'm blind. Well, hang on, June. Now, you sent a text. Also, I'm not sure I want blind people having membership cards. That's a joke. That's satire. Of course I do. June, so if I were to ring this number now, June, we're going to communicate via the medium of text. If I were to ring this number now, June, could you answer? There's no one around to answer my phone when you call me back. I'm blind. I don't quite understand. To send us another text, and then we'll just call you. Right. We've got one line free. By the way, Amy, this is probably going to be the busiest night of your life. Busiest night of your life. Because we're going to get these chances of smelt something for free. So they want freebies. But you're also going to have to do more work as well as answering the phone. It's Amy you speak to when you answer the phone. So please, please, for the love of all that is holy, be polite. Catherine,
yeah.
As producer of the show, tell Amy what her extra duties are tonight.
Write down people's addresses, please. And their numbers of membership.
Okay, could you say it in a friendly manner? I know you're old school. I know you're old school BBC, but we don't.
I said please.
Oh wow! Would you mind, Amy? If you wouldn't mind,
Would you mind doing your job?
Wow! I'm sorry. I'm not with her. Thank you. Right, we've got one line free. 0344 4. That line has just gone, so I'm not going to give out the number. Catherine, pick a line between 1 and 10.
3.
Okay. Good evening, Taslima.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening. What can I do for you this evening?
I would like a membership card.
Here we go. Now, here's the thing, right? Let me get the laminator out of the box. We haven't done this yet.
Okay.
Did I pronounce your name right, Taslima?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Is it? Well, you say that's brilliant. Is it right? Cause
yes, it's correct.
I hate that thing, right? When someone's got a name that I haven't said before, and you say it, and you go, did I get that right? They go, yeah, that you can say that. I said, well, now, how do you say it? Well, you can say this or this. No. It's your name. Tell me how you say it. Oh, I don't mind this or that. You must prefer one. You can't... You must have one... I'm not having a go at you, Taslima. You must have you must have one way of saying it.
Yeah.
Yourself.
Yeah.
It really hates me, people who... Anyway.
It hates you. By the way, for the pendants listening, 800 years of history.
So?
Notre Dame.
Okay, thank you. What did I say?
I said 12.
Okay, because it's 1200 when it was built.
Something around that.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So we got
1135.
Now here's what I've just decided. Right, Catherine and I are going to get numbers 1 and 2. We don't know which yet.
Ip dip do.
But I think what we do is for you guys, the punters. Mm-hmm. We're going to start at number 10. That gives us 8 special membership cards, Catherine, to award to...
As we see fit.
Well, to bribes. We award them to bribes, okay, is what I'm saying. So we're going to start, Taslima. You're going to have number 10.
Okay.
That's the highest a player... that's the highest a listener can get. I'm just taking the...
How are we spelling Taslima again, please?
Taslima.
Hang on. Taf?
S.
Yes.
F for Freddy.
S. S for sugar.
S. You say F like an F. You say S like an F.
Okay, it's F.
It sounds like we're having a really sweary conversation. You say S like an F, man. You say S like an F. Right, have you got a plug near you?
No. Well, that... Have you not got a row of them over there?
Yeah, but it's not...
All right, number 10.
Hang on a minute. All right, what's this extension? Ah, I've got an extension. Because I want you to do the laminating. Because I always get the impression, Catherine, you're kind of more... You come from more working stock. Right, so what we do... So you're number 10. This is going to be some show tonight, guys. This is it. If I see any... I'm on eBay regularly, right?
Uh-huh.
If I see any of these on eBay...
Well, they'll have your names on for a start.
Well, yeah, and technically there's not really a lot I can do about it, but I'm going to be fuming.
Mm.
I'm going to be fuming. Right.
Okay.
So we're going to sign... So I've got a sign. It's Catherine has signed the back. I'm signing the back. My signature is much cooler.
Don't smudge it.
I'm not smudging it. Right. You're going to put
Let me
this...
give it a little...
Right, can you...
I don't know how this works. You got some instructions?
No, I've got some laminating wallet. Trust me, guys, this will... We're going to...
Is it hot?
No, it's not hot. This is going to be a lot quicker. As this, it's taken us 10 minutes to do one, but I promise this is going to be the slowest one. Once we get to... We've got 10 lines.
Is it supposed to smell like burning?
No, is it? Right, so here's the plastic wallet. Jeez, oh, everything...
Why is this so complicated?
Hang on a minute. Right, we're going to go to a break and then we're going to come back. It's getting on my nerves already. Go.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Right, Paul, what do you want? Paul? Sorry?
I'm particular.
What, Paul? Sorry, you're breaking up. Paul, your signal's breaking. Are you on a mobile?
I am on a mobile.
Okay, try again. What was it you wanted? Paul? Paul, he's breaking up. Try again. It's breaking up. You heard that, Catherine. This guy's breaking up.
I can hear something.
Paul, just try it one more time, buddy.
Right. I'm delighted to be making your acquaintance.
Yes. Okay.
And I would...
Yeah, okay. Paul, stay there. We're going to come to you in a minute. Just if you could just lean out of a window. Forget seven. We'll go back to Paul in a minute. Number between 1 and 10, please, Catherine. Not seven. We'll go back to him in a minute.
2.
It's Fake Sheila. Good evening, Fake Sheila.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy to get through. I can't believe it.
Well, you get through pretty much every time you phone up. It's a phone-in show where we get... Be quiet. All 10 lines are taken up with people with freeloaders. Be quiet. All 10 lines are taken up with freeloaders and scumbags.
Yeah. And Sheila's one of them.
Sheila, what was it you would like?
Oh, I'm not a freeloader.
Hello?
Okay, can I... No, please don't cut me off, please.
I'm not cutting you off. Who's cutting you off?
Don't say that my signal's cutting out, please, because all weekend I've been worrying because I thought the show might not be on.
Yeah.
I love the show. It means loads to me. And I've had a crappy old week. And every time I have a crappy day, I love listening to you guys. And I just want you to
best.
Know that you really make everything better. I'm
it's
being, like, creepy.
It's
smelly.
The best show. All right. You want number 11. You want number 11.
That's how I did.
Now, guys, this is... Let me just take you back to 1997 when radio stations would give away, like, James Bond VHS box sets. This is exactly the kind of person... Sorry?
What's that arrow, that random arrow there for?
No, it's not an arrow. It's where...
I wanted number 11. And when you said...
Says,
when that guy got...
Please, why is she talking?
She's excited.
I don't know why they've done that line there. That was not part of the design. Okay. It looks good. It looks trendy.
Does it?
This when people were giving away James Bond VHS box sets, this is exactly the kind of person that radio producers would hunt for.
Yeah, the screamer.
And they're not allowed to anymore. They're not allowed to. So I just have to say to Ofcom, this is not a fix. This is she's genuinely this batty.
I just want number 11. That's all I want, please. It's my lucky number.
Are you Sheila with a GH or an H? Or just
no, I'm the very boring one. Sheila.
Well, because of course it can be.
Oh, bugger off.
No. If you've written that, what have you written?
I don't mind.
Sheila.
Yeah, that's how you spell it?
Yes, fake. Can I fake, though?
Hang on, have you spelt it?
Sheila.
No, it's SH.
No,
it's we haven't got enough. You haven't got enough.
Yeah, we've got loads.
No, we haven't.
Come on.
If there are mistakes on there, there are mistakes on... She's fake, Sheila, anyway.
Yeah, I've put fake.
I'd like to be fake.
You've got a very special rare one. You've got a misprint.
Oh, man.
Okay, that's
Sorry.
Catherine's fault. Any misprints?
As long as I get number 11, that's all I wanted. Honestly, I was thinking, what time do I say not to get 11? I was trying to time
Why do you want number 11 so much?
What's so
weirdo?
Special about 11?
It's my lucky number. number. It's just my lucky number. And I've been worrying about it all weekend. Like, do I phone up at the start of the show? Do I wait? Like, I'm so sad. I really have been.
Well, not as sad as us. We're going to get 3 hours out of this rubbish. I think, Paul, we're going to come to you in a minute. I think Paul's fixed his...
I can't have 12.
Oh, no, we've got 11, but your name is spelled wrong. Paul, are you back?
I'm here.
We've got you, Paul. Okay. You can never tell with Paul if he's sounding dour or not.
Oh, he's just very calm and smooth.
Very calm and smooth. Here's the thing, guys. We can't... I mean, we could. We've done worse. We've done lighter. We can't, though, just have 3 hours of people phoning up, us going, you're number 15, you're number 36. Paul was very disapproving then, like a headmaster. So what we need to do is somehow we need to introduce... we need to introduce content.
Oh.
Well, can you do Paul's?
I'm doing it. Give me my pen back. Honestly. Can't have a posh pen round here, Paul.
You're a spod, and you should like this.
I love this.
Yeah, well, then show it. Tell your face. Tell your voice.
Shh.
This is great. This
I've got
is
spell rhythmic now, so shush.
All these people. Listen to these whingers, right? Listen to these whingers.
Jealous.
Listen to this. Hi, Ian and Kath. These people are too lazy to phone in. We've got Sheila, we've got Paul, we've got David, we've got Ollie, we've got good people. Listen to this. Hi, Ian and Kath. I'm really wanting to ring up for a membership card like I did Friday. All right.
But
I'm in hospital and the other patients are asleep. Could you pretty please hold one for me until I'm home and able to call?
Listen.
No worries if not.
Those guys are already ill, so you might as well wake them up.
Excited to see you both in Manchester. Love, Chelsea. No, mate. Here we go. Am I able to get a membership card if anxiety prevents me from being able to call? No, mate. The blind lady. No, mate. These are for the people who would walk over hot coals for them.
Or ring up.
Hot coals. Or ring up. Have you done Paul's card?
Yeah, number are we doing, Paul?
He's number 12. No. He's number 12.
All right.
13, please.
Now, why?
Because I think that everyone should call Shazam Shazam.
12. He's being a knob. Why that?
I don't know. I just get extreme delight out of calling it Shazam instead of Shazam.
You're a very silly person.
I am winding me up. This is.
I don't know if we want him to be a member.
Well, he is.
Oh.
He is a member. I think you know what I mean by that.
Peanuts.
Hurry up. You're taking too long with it.
Don't smudge it, though.
Listen, this is the thing. We have got to speed up. It's 20 to 11. We've done 3.
Shush.
We've got 100 of these.
Yeah, scribbling.
You're the one that's slowing down the... Get them going. Laminate that one. Get the next one striped up.
I want to get it nice.
Right. So we need content. So everyone that comes on now... Needs to tell us an interesting fact. There we go. That's content. Phone us up with an interesting fact.
Or an interesting fiction.
No. Sheila and Paul, we've done yours.
Thank you.
And James is right. You can, if you work hard, you can drag out this membership card thing all week. Good work, James. You're absolutely spot on. Right, so Sheila, you're going to go and speak to Amy. She's going to take your address. Now, are you going to give your address or the address of the next door neighbour that you break into?
Hey, do you know what? He's gone to Australia.
Yeah, for good, probably.
So I could go in any time I wanted if I wanted to.
Well, no,
to,
also, I know for a fact that your best friend is living in there.
He's just moved in.
Yeah.
Just moved in.
There you go. All right, well, stay there. Give your address. Give an address to Amy, okay?
Okay, I will do. Oh, no, it'll be my address. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Paul, you stay there because Amy's going to take your address as well.
Okay.
All right.
Cheer.
Honestly, guess what he wants, and then the charm is switched off.
Can you have a word with him, please? That is disrespectful.
Paul.
I know the four agreements. The fifth one should be, don't act like a miserable git when you've got something for free. Smile and say thank you. Paul, we're going to get this out ASAP. ASAP.
Means sometime this week when I can be bothered.
ASAP.
Oh, 0344.
I'm not going to give out the number because the switchboard is full. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Not touch the top of the machine during use as it will get very hot and take approximately 3 to 4 hours to cool down. It's going in the back of your car,
no,
mate.
No, let's
not
leave
having
it.
No, because someone will nick it.
Well, it would be too hot to nick.
It's the great giveaway.
We can stash it somewhere.
Right, let's get Catherine has called back in. We don't normally allow double bubble, but Catherine has called in for double bubble. Catherine, what you would like a card, would you?
I would love a card, yes. What, no, what? And if you, I mean, I can give you an interesting fact if you want one.
Yeah, we do want one, actually. Yes, well done. Thank you. I've forgotten that was what we were asking for. But yes, we'd like an interesting fact, please.
Okay. When I had my paranormal group, we did an overnight stay in a hunting lodge, one of King Henry's hunting lodges. And we weren't told what any of the rooms were. We were just allocated. Mine was right at the top. And there was a Gothic-shaped window. And because it was a huge climb and it was really vertical.
Well, they're supposed to be interesting facts.
It is. Wait for it.
An hour, it feels like.
No! I sat on the window and got this feeling being pushed, and when the investigation was over and we were told what the rooms were, that was the room where they used to execute prisoners by pushing them out the window.
Wah!
So that's an interesting
fact. Well, I don't know if it's either interesting or a fact.
Well, it rambled. No, it is. It's both.
It was a meandering fiction. Right.
Catherine, how are you spelling your name?
The old-fashioned way. Which K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E.
Oh, the slightly...
Hang on, you just cut off the end.
Insipid way.
The important bit.
Sorry?
E-R-I-N-E.
Yeah.
Like me.
Well, how do you think
beautiful.
You spell it? Why are the ways...
Because there's
K-A-T-H... Wagwan, did you say?
There's R-Y-N.
Yeah.
No, there's not.
There is.
No, there's not. Yeah.
There is Catherine.
Yeah.
We're Catherine.
No, there's no Catherine.
We're originals.
Yep, we are.
Originals.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You know the name Lorraine wasn't invented until 1958, I think it was. Maybe it's 68, 1968. Did you know that, Catherine?
No, is that a fact?
That's an interesting fact.
I mean, it's
right.
But...
Please.
You're number 13.
Unlucky for some.
Am I?
Oh.
Yes. Fantastic.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Oh, she's into, like, black magic
she's
and voodoo,
spooky.
Isn't
she
it? Yeah,
that.
A little bit.
Yay!
Little bit. And she's bonkers as well. Catherine, stay on the line. So sorry, Amy. We'll buy you a drink. I mean, like, a coffee. I mean, I'll buy you a coffee. I'm not actually going to buy it. Catherine will. This Catherine on the phone. If you can take her details, thank you. Catherine is being laminated now.
Look at that. Look at that action. Can you smell that?
Oh, that's the machine, is it? I thought it was you. Between 1 and 10, please, Catherine.
5.
Okay. Hey. To get one of these membership cards, if that's what you've called in for, mysterious... What am I smelling?
It's burnt.
Oh, yeah. Mysterious caller number 5. You have to tell us an interesting fact. That's you, Barry.
Oh, hello, Ian. Hello, Cass.
Hello, Barry.
Here we go.
Like to request a membership card.
Yes. We need an interesting fact from you.
Well, the interesting fact... possibility, because I'm in the twilight of my life.
Oh, flipping heck, man!
I know. And so the interesting side of this is that on my demise, which I wouldn't think would be too long away, I could bequest this to my grandchildren. It could become a family heirloom. Ooh. And it could possibly appear on a future Antiques Roadshow.
Do you know what? He's not wrong. He's not wrong. I would say this is more Flog It material than Antiques Roadshow. Or what's that one with Damon Grant from Brookside? Buff it up and sell it again.
Yes.
It could be on that. Buff it up and sell it again.
I would say this is going to be one of those heirlooms that they go, really, Grandad, you shouldn't have. Couldn't you leave it to my brother?
Here we go. Double N here on text.
I've not put a number. Oh, it's got no number.
Oh, Barry's got a lucky one. Barry. Yours is numberless, my friend.
Oh, I'm happy with that.
Barry walks amongst us like a ghost, like the undead. Barry is, we're of us, but not of us. He stalks this universe like the twilight of life and dawn itself. This man is immortal and a god. Barry has the only, so far, membership card that has nay number on it, Barry. You must be very, very lucky.
I am very, very lucky and very proud, and I shall take it into the ether with me.
You certainly should. Barry, stay there. You're going to speak to Amy when you have a moment. Amy, I know we're running you ragged.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Double N here. My good friend, drummer, 1985, has just had severe mouth surgery. She cannot call up. She is desperate for a card. We are both coming to Manchester. Will you please make an exception as you are both gods?
No, mate!
No, mate!
No, mate!
Gotta phone up, guys. What is this, charity? What are you doing, charity here, guys? 03444991000. Here we go. Now, this is something we might do. Ernest, get your... Okay. Ernest says, hi, guys. I live across the road from your studio. Trying to call, but the switchboard is full. Can I just pop over and get a card?
Hello, there's no one living across the road from our studio.
Ernest, I'll tell you what. It's 10:51. If we get a phone call from downstairs by 5 minutes past 11 saying there is someone called Ernest downstairs who wants a membership card, you can have a membership card. If we get a call 6 minutes past 11 or later, you don't get a membership card. How's about that? Ernest, your time starts now. We'll do other stuff while we're waiting. We're not just going to...
I'm not going to write it until I hear that.
Your time starts. So, Ernest, right, so Barry's got one. Ernest, you need to make up Ernest's, because Ernest, it could be like a ghost one if it doesn't happen.
How's he spelling Ernest? Ernest or Ernest?
There's only one way to spell Ernest. I can see it. E-R-N-E-S-T. Right, pick a line between 1 and 10.
1.
Fave. It's not Faitoza from Steps, is it?
No, unfortunately not, no.
Oh, okay, all right,
it's a tragedy.
Fine.
Almost.
Huh? Mm. Sorry?
Yeah.
Okay. Almost.
Almost. Well, could
how can
be almost.
You all be almost someone? I'm intrigued. Especially if you're a twin.
Well, it's a dual personality thing.
It could be, I suppose. Could be.
Are you a Faye with an E while I'm doing the admin?
Yeah,
Faye
with an E.
Right, hang on a minute. Before she gets one, we need an interesting fact from her. Don't jump the gun.
You were open to blackmail a moment ago.
Yes.
So I can offer you a game of golf, real golf, not like poxy going around fun golf, if you want.
Well, where?
London, which is probably a bit far.
Well, there's no golf in London. What are you talking about?
There's a golf course just outside London that I... work at and get you a game of golf there.
Not the one in Muswell Hill?
No, no, north, more north.
Right.
On the M11.
No, thank you.
Oh.
Okay.
Good day. I don't want a game of golf. I don't want a game of golf.
Well, that was the first thing she was going to offer. You could have waited for the next thing. Get her back.
All right, hang on a minute. I'll get her back. Hang on a minute.
Also, I nearly spoiled the card then, right in
front. No, you've got to be a little bit careful. So we're going to go there. Faye, and we're going to... All right, I'll call her back. All right, let's get her back. OK.
This is clever, because she won't be expecting it. Yeah.
Sign. All these are hand signed.
Hello?
Good evening. I'm an Irish man from Ireland. And I was wondering if you'd like to buy some Irish food.
What you got offering?
I got some Irish pies...
Only joking. Oh, it's Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle from the Late Night Alternative. Kath thinks I was a little bit harsh and that you may have had a better second offer.
A second offer?
Hello?
Yeah, he wasn't into
hello?
The golf.
Is that... Hello, who's
I thought you were into the golf.
Who was that person who answered the phone?
Me.
Who were you whispering to?
Herself.
I got a right one. Hello?
Hello?
I'm an Irish man. Right, Faye, so you're on the radio again.
Tell us a story.
Just tell us a fact. Tell us a fact.
A fact. I can't think of it off my head. I sound real muppet now on the radio.
We're gonna have to let you go, Faye. Bye bye. I'm very sorry. We can't just give these out.
Yeah.
Ernest, you've got 11 minutes. 10 minutes, 15 seconds to get here and grab one. Let's try this one very quickly. Good evening, David.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Dave. Well, we haven't got much time. Do you want one of these bloody cards?
Oh, yes, please.
What do you want to say?
What, you want a fact?
Oh, yes, yes! Don't sound so surprised! Yes, I want a fact!
The electric chair was invented by a dentist.
He's right.
He's good.
He's right. He's absolutely right. How do you know that?
Well, you said you wanted an interesting fact, so I put interesting fact into Google.
Beautiful.
And that came up.
He's a studious man.
Elkenstein says, "Hi, Kath, Ian. I would call in to request a membership card, but I've completely forgotten how to speak English. Can you send me one, please?"
No, mate.
David, I love your fact. It's what's great about it is, have you done his card?
Yeah, it's number 15.
Okay, you're number 15. Really, we've done five. We haven't. We've done six. What I like about that is it's interesting. It's slightly morbid. Everyone likes morbid stuff. But also it's about dentistry, which I think is overlooked. What was the out time, Amy? 56:30. I've cleared the screen
57.
Somehow. So?
57.
57:30. 15. 57:15. Yep. Right, David, you're going to get David's details, Amy. We're going to squeeze one more of these. We're going to go to Lucy. Hello, Lucy.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Is that Lucy?
It is, yes, hello.
Would you like a membership card that I'm signing now?
I would absolutely love one, yes, please. Okay.
Tell us something good, then.
So, it is considered rude for people to blow their nose in Japan. Sniffing is far more preferable.
They do that. When I was learning Japanese, I had this tiny little Japanese woman come round, and one day she had a cold, and for the whole hour, sniffing all her stuff back in. It's disgusting. And also, small talk is considered rude in Japan.
I've heard that. I've been in lifts with Japanese people and it's been very uncomfortable.
Well, I've had lunches with Japanese friends and... Lucy, you're not spelling your name in a silly way, are you?
I'm not what, sorry?
Spelling your name in a silly way.
The Y.
I like you, okay, Lucy. Stay there. Give your details to Amy. We're going to give away more of these and I'm going to find a way to make it a little bit more interesting. This is the late night alternative. Is Amy there? Oh, she's there! Oh, God, I couldn't see you. We're going to go to the news. Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Got to stop the music, because with seconds to spare, if you lift this up, young man, introduce yourselves to
Hello.
The boys and girls.
Hello, I am Ernest.
Now, here's the thing. We've just said... Has you been frisked by security, by
I haven't
the way?
Touched him.
In this day and age, everybody needs to... you just don't know. Now, have you got any identification on you to prove that you're Ernest? Because this could just be some freeloader who's just, like, listening. Yeah. Going,
meanwhile, Ernest is outside.
Tied up in the boot of a car.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. I kind of have a confession to make. My name isn't really Ernest.
And this is where we die. You thought last week's show were tense. You wait now. Listen, we're going to get murdered live on the air. Hover over that dump button and the emergency tape, Amy.
I'm afraid it's a fake Twitter name. My real name is actually Nikki.
Oh,
but I am the Ernest that tweeted you.
Jesus.
I can prove that with my
Ian.
This just screws up.
Well, I'm sorry, you're Ernest number 14.
Well hang on, I'm tempted not to give it to him.
Why,
now?
Come on, I've rushed all this way.
He ran.
But he's not who he... I'll just give it to him.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations, number 14. Use it wisely.
Now, what do you think? How do you think this is going to change your life, Ernest? You're a young man. You're a slim man. You're a good-looking guy.
Oh,
so you've got a lot going for you at the moment. How does this improve things even more?
Well, it definitely means I'm going to have to find more space in my wallet.
Yes.
He's right. It takes up a lot of space.
That's one big change in my life.
Maybe take out some photographs of some loved ones.
It's 125 microns. I know not that won't mean a lot to you guys.
It means everything to me.
A lot of laminating.
I actually do laminating at work, so that speaks to me.
Well, it's not bad... It's not the highest. It's the most... And this is a top-of-the-range machine. You'll recognise it. 15 quid this cost me.
It's a fire hazard.
Top-of-the-range machine. The desk is melting slightly. Okay, anything else that this is going to do before... Because we are going to kick you out now.
Well,
Nikki.
I think this is a testament to me being your closest listener, I would argue.
I tell you what. I've got a special gift for you.
Go on.
There's some headies down there. Put some headphones on.
You
put those on. If you follow that cable, there's a little knob that will do the volume.
Because people that work in radio are deaf.
Who, out of all the callers that phone up the show,
yep,
who would you like to speak to the most?
Oh.
Alan Caddick, he's here.
Okay. Hello.
Alan, say hello to Nicky Ernest.
Hi, Nicky Ernest.
Hi, Alan, how are you?
Not bad, thank you. I've got an interesting fact and I want a membership card.
Okay, I'll translate. He's got an interesting fact because he wants a membership card.
Thank you.
Go on then, Alan, let's have it.
At Ainsley Racecourse, Beecher's book was named after Captain Martin Beecher, who fell in the book in 1839.
Okay, and the interesting fact...
That was an interesting fact.
Wow, our definitions of interesting are slightly different. What number are we up to, Catherine?
That's number 17.
Now, I think we have to ask Nicky Ernest whether he thinks that was worthy of a membership card or not. Nicky Ernest, any?
I find Alan's horse racing facts absolutely spectacular.
Wow, and here's the thing, he sounds like he's being sarcastic, but he looks genuine.
Genuine, yeah.
Wow, wicked.
That anyone can keep that amount of information in their head just astounds me, especially... Yeah.
Well, he's jettisoned Adam. Quite a lot of important stuff.
Yes, like how to wash.
And I've got some news on me mum.
Oh, how's your mum?
Well, she had some faulty equipment.
I don't know if you should be telling us about that.
Is, private.
The new inhaler was faulty.
Oh, the inhaler. I thought you meant... OK. All right. So have they fixed... Did she survive the weekend?
Well, they gave her the little blue one to keep her going till they can get a new one to her.
OK, wow. All right, Alan. Well, listen, you stay on the line. You're going to speak to Amy. She's going to take your address, but please, please don't read anything into that. She's got no interest in you whatsoever.
I know.
Thank you. Nicky Ernest, it's lovely to see you again. I'm going to ask you to leave the building, and we're gonna slow clap you as you walk out. Is that all right?
Oh, thank you so much. That'll be lovely. Thanks, guys.
Yes, mate.
See you later.
Off you go.
Thanks for the call.
Try not to lie about your name next time.
It's necessary.
No, it's not.
Cheers.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
You're 45.
Hey, I'm not. I'm 41.
Petty. Okay, all right, calm down. Very excited.
And street.
All right, now you're showing off just because you've made a new buddy who you think you're going to get free tickets from at some point. Well, trust me, I know how these showbiz types work. There ain't no free tickets coming out of this guy. There's nothing coming out of this guy.
Let's see.
I'm going to introduce you, Noel, in a way you've never been introduced before.
Oh, excellent.
I'm going to say star of musicals, a teacher, a world traveller, a singer... Performer, it's Noel Sullivan.
Thank you very much.
And he's got the most beautiful tan you've ever seen.
God, he's dark, isn't he?
I look like
look at the state of you, man.
I look like I've Ron sealed myself, don't I?
Well done.
I remember the young, pale lad. He walks in and he's he looks Asian. I don't know if that's racist to say that someone looks Asian. I don't.
No, I do have a little bit of Asian blood.
Oh,
me.
Do you?
So it's, you know, the sunshine brings her out.
Whereabouts is the Asian? What part of your family and where from?
Well, I don't really know because I'm not in touch with that side of the family.
Oh, right.
Much.
Oh.
But, I know it's in India somewhere.
Controversy in the first 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be great. He doesn't speak to half of his family.
Yeah, high five for that one.
Yes,
well
man.
Done,
I don't speak to loads of my family as well. And part of me, sometimes I feel sad about it.
Yeah.
Part of me just thinks, yes, makes it easier.
Yeah,
makes
definitely.
It easier.
Especially at Christmas time, you know.
You don't have to like each other.
Me and Noel, we're
families. That's the rule no one tells you until you're a grown up. You don't have to like each other. It's okay to admit you don't like each other.
Now, listen, I'm saying that's probably the first time you've been introduced like that, because I bet every time it's Noel from Hearsay.
Yes.
Is that must be the thing. And that was you were saying 2001.
Yeah.
And that was, we will talk about all the stuff you're doing now as well. We're going to get all the plugs in.
Great.
We're going to sell out your show that you're doing in Cardiff on April the 19th.
What?
Yeah, not even
written
down.
What?
Oh, mate.
When I walked into your office just now, I was like, they have no idea what's going on. They got their shoes off, they're eating takeaways.
You were brought up by the security man who was trying to tap you up for a job because everyone's got the sack. He's tapping him up for a job.
He was. Not in the way I like, though. So, but so he's not getting the job.
You're right. So we're going to plug everything, man. And are you all right for an hour? Can we have you for an hour? Beautiful. Right. So, but let's do the business. Let's do the business end of it. You, of course, were in Hearsay.
Yes.
And that was 2001. And what the series was? Pop Stars.
It was.
Pop Idols was the one after.
Yeah.
Pop Stars, was that the first one of this kind of modern?
Yeah.
It was the first time. So it wasn't like
Nigel.
Yeah,
that was tagline, wasn't it?
Pick Me, Nigel, and there was like. And it was sponsored by a really hideous, like, fizzy drink as well that lasted as long as Hearsay, I think.
Really? What was the drink?
Yeah, I can't remember. Something awful, though. Every flavour was just, like, hideous. Anyway, I don't know why that's popped into my head.
The mouth that feeds him. That reunion's never going
to
happen.
He never needs to drink that crap again.
Thank God. It was. I mean, we'd always had talent show and all this kind of Simon Cowell stuff. All it is opportunity knocks with bells and whistles.
Exactly.
It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
But this was. I'm wearing a David Jones T-shirt. I'm a big fan of the Monkees. Right. Yes. I love those.
Well, they were the first version, weren't they?
They were the first. Yeah. Exactly. I love those manufactured. Yeah. Pop bands, yeah. And most pop bands are, and there's no shame in it. I think it's a very credible way to, you know, to make a musical outfit. But this was the first time, I think, that we as the British public had seen, there was the competition side of it, and that was that kind of one thing, the auditions and people coming through and all that. But this is the first time we'd seen the machinery in place.
Yeah, well, the idea of Pop Stars was not like a competition, as we know, the X Factor now.
Yes.
It was a fly-on-the-wall documentary about how to make a band. So there were no phone... people say to me all the time, I voted for you. And I think, no, you never.
Oh, were there no votes?
No, there was no votes.
Right.
It was just for... Yeah, we got picked by... industry professional.
It was Nicky Chapman,
Paul Adam, and Nigel Lithgow.
Paul who?
Exactly. That's
Paul
show
Adam's
business.
Brother is Ray that rings up this show.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Paul
really?
Adam, like, he was a big boss at Polydor. Now he works for Spotify.
Yeah. Okay. Ray still boasts about him.
Okay, there you go. Right. I should pay more attention to our callers. All right, fine.
They picked us out of, you know, this is the first time they had regional auditions as well. So for me in Cardiff, there was, I think the only other audition I'd ever seen in the local paper was Barrymore's My Kind of People.
Right.
So that tells you how sparse life was and in those days.
No, but I get that. Growing up, you know, I grew up partly in Manchester and nothing ever happened to us. It was always, you watched the TV and it was always London kids that seemed to get everything, right?
Yeah.
So for it to be in your backyard was a massive deal.
You sound just like Suzanne now, who I think is listening. But she was the same. It's like she came from a bit of a more of a showbiz background. She'd done The Biz.
So it's like, I remember The Biz. I love that.
Exactly, The Biz.
Yeah, so, but yeah, same thing. Like, they're just... really
so that you say it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
it has been a while. Don't let him in a radio studio. So it was it's the first time that we had access to regional auditions and everybody piled in. So then they who did we have? Yeah, Nigel and that. They whittled us down. They took. We had the regional auditions in Cardiff, and then we went to Birmingham.
When you did the thing in Cardiff, did you really... What were you, 19?
19.
Right, okay, so kid.
Yeah.
You know, not to patronise, a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you think, I've done well in this, I'm going to go through... Or were you just kind of...
Yeah,
what were you doing as an 18, 19-year-old lad?
So I just come back from my second... So I'd done a summer season in Ibiza. And
doing what? Partying? Pills? What was this?
Yeah, all of that. But it was working for... I've worked for an entertainment agency out there. So we put on shows in the hotels for guests.
Did you have to wear the big mascot outfits?
No. So we did... So the first... It was really random. The first year I did a Blacklight Theatre of Prague show where you dress all in black on a black stage under ultraviolet lights. And you do like... So there's like a soundtrack that plays.
That.
And then you put, like, you
we're
put on...
White gloves or?
Yeah, all the things, but all of the puppets are painted with UV paint.
Yeah, I know the thing.
Yeah. So basically, like, you take the whole set there, you set it up, and then you put on a show in the hotel, and then, like, it lasts for like an hour and a half, and then you're done. That's like the best job I ever had because obviously you're done by 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
No one knows your face because you've got like a black scarf
also,
on your head.
Drunk burn people will clap whatever, won't
exactly.
they?
Exactly. They don't care. They're in an all inclusive looking at magic. They're like, this is the best show they've ever seen in their life. So I did that for the first summer season and then I went back for the second summer season and I lasted for about 4 weeks and I was singing a lot more and all that kind of stuff and I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I'd finished my A-levels. I was like, one season was enough. If I stay here, you know, you looked at that time at the older entertainers and they were like, they'd been there their whole lives. They ran a bar, they did their circuit, and it was just dreary. Like, it's a lovely island, don't get me wrong, but I wanted more.
Yeah.
So I came home, and literally the day I got off the plane, my mum was like, have you seen this? And it was a cutting out of the paper. So, so the plan was either to go to college to do musical theatre. That was a plan for that September. And I kind of applied to places and stuff and had quite good feedback. And then, and then this happened. And I didn't question it. I was just like, there was nothing to compare it to. There was nothing had been done like it before. So I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm going to be a pop star and it's going to be massive on telly. You didn't know because no one knew.
Yeah.
So I just went through the audition process and was like, oh, this is good. I'm getting there. So they took us to Birmingham, whittled us down again. Then we did all that Green Mile stuff in London at the Brixton Studios where they took the final 30 and we all worked together and every day people got cold and we had to walk.
Now, it was Darius.
Yeah.
That was your series, was it?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, he's evil, right? We can say that.
No, he's not. He had a massive kind of resurgence, didn't he? A haircut and seemed to sort of calm down a little bit.
He came back with the Noel skills, basically. Yes. He went away. He got his hair done like mine. He looked down the camera and said, I am mum. Like, he stole my groove.
And he kept his riffs a little bit tighter.
Yeah, exactly. He went away. He watched what I did and he sorted himself out.
18 years after it happened, I know you say Darius Britney Spears. But we can picture that, and that's how iconic. And that's just one scene, but that's how huge pop stars the whole series was. It was getting like 10, 12, 15 million viewers. Yeah. It was insane.
Yeah, and you forget it's like before social media. It's before like massive Sky TV. You know, it's when we just had everybody was watching TV on a Saturday night.
Yeah, was it before Shadow camera phones?
Yes. Because I can, thinking of that, about the I had Nokia with a snake on, and that was like the coolest, most up to date phone ever, you know.
Yeah.
Playing Snake.
Just thinking, you know, the way that you were kind of pushed into it, and, you know, you're 19, you're a kid, you're just going from one audition to the next, not quite thinking about what might be about to be unleashed on you.
Yeah.
Thank God there were no camera phones. Thank God there was no Twitter. Because what happened to you was bad enough, wasn't it?
It's different because now, like, it's just different, isn't it? Now, if you went through the X Factor process or whatever, There's more support, there's more, like, there's less of that kind of hell that you would have online, but then we also had the press to deal with, which was a different beast back then. Mm-hmm. So all of the story, you know, I'd spent two summer seasons in Ibiza, I got up to mischief like anyone my age would have done at that time, and then it's selling stories, and in some ways, that feels, at that time, it feels like, I feel like news is way more disposable now. You see something and then it's replaced by something instantly. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, the big deal was what's being printed in the papers on a Saturday, and it affected things more, I think.
So how much... I can't quite remember. How much... It was kind of almost happening live, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the episodes were being filmed and they'd go out that week?
So basically, when we got down to the final five and they moved us into a secret house in Mill Hill, and we were probably about... We moved in about 6 months ahead of the air date.
Right.
So it was catching up in real time. Yeah. So like the last maybe three or four episodes were as they were editing that week.
Wow.
So it was what was weird is that period of time when you're just recording stuff and, you know, just stuck in this house, just thinking, is anyone even going to watch this?
Yeah.
Right.
And then obviously,
it could have been a flop. You're right.
Yeah, of course.
Also, it was brutal. And again, another iconic moment that stands out that they would never say. Hopefully, well, they might.
I know
where
you're going with this. Kim
Marsh, Nigel Lithgow telling Kim Marsh he was too fat and needed to lose.
Yeah, but her reaction was perfect.
She was incredible.
Yeah.
Needed to lose some weight. But it just shows how this was the first time that the mm-hmm. fact that, yeah, okay, you guys are going to get shit on because that's, we know what happens in pop. Yeah. But the fact that even the people in charge were saying stuff that looked terrible on TV.
But also, there was no pretense, right, of anything other than, if you don't like it, you can jog on, there's someone else behind you that will come in. Whereas with the X Factor, now they built up from the start to think that they're the next big thing.
Yeah, of course, but even like the deal, I remember going to sit in the lawyers when we were signing the deal and it was the last 10 of us. So they hadn't picked, you know, they hadn't yet gone round to our houses to tell us we're in and all that stuff. And the deal was shocking. And, you know, you're there going, I'm signing my life away here and I'm not going to get anything for this. But the solicitor, the lawyer was just like, listen, if you don't sign this, you're totally replaceable. They've got people waiting in the wings. And you're like, well, you know,
to
it's
kids.
Better than...
presenting them with that.
Yeah, I know. You don't. At the time, you're like, oh my God, I'm just going to do it. And now looking back on it, I was like, everybody was just taking the mic.
Or I imagine the back of your head, you go, do you know what? I'll make it work. I'll make it work somehow. Just got to get my foot in the door.
But also, even just like the they paid us 500 quid a week to be on the TV show at that time. And I was just like, that was more money than I'd ever seen at that time in my life. I was working as a waiter, you know, like I was supporting myself through my A-levels. I'd had a job as long as I could work from where I was from, you know, a single parent family and just like trying to, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We should say, because there will be some people, we've got kids listening, Hearsay was the band. At the time, the fastest selling debut single, is that right?
Yeah.
Like 500,000 copies in a week.
In a week, yeah.
Or something
hard
insane.
Copies, yeah.
You probably hate Hearsay because of the misplaced apostrophe. Catherine is very punctuation police.
Sure.
that apostrophe in between the here and the say, that must just drive you nuts.
I didn't hate Hearsay. I could forgive them anything.
And here's the thing.
Anything.
Look,
it
was great. It was a great TV show. It was a great song. You guys were a great band. You were a perfect...
It was just, it just did what it was supposed to do.
Also, you were all dead approachable. There wasn't a Darius in there, because Darius was pretty much set up as the villain, wasn't he? In a bit of a knob. And thankfully, you managed to turn it around afterwards.
But, you know,
they definitely pitted you against each other. And it was all the normal nice kids, and then him doing his Britney Spears extended remix. But they're all incredibly likable, approachable. You know, the stuff with Kim... Everyone sided with her actually against Nigel, and he was setting himself up as Mr. Nasty, wasn't it?
Yeah. But that was his. But obviously, he comes from like Boss of Light Entertainment. Yeah. He wants to make TV. You know, it's the first time when you're like, okay, we need TV stories as well, because not just making the music, it's like making sure people tune in after the break so we can sell the crap pop.
And let's have some, let's have some conflict, and if there isn't any, we'll make some.
You mentioned the money. You don't have to go into specifics, but did you make any money out of it?
The only place that we made any money really was the live tours, the arena.
You played big arenas,
yeah. So that was great for us, like merchandise and all that stuff.
Okay, so you made money off the back of that,
yes, yeah.
But the TV show, the records,
nothing. I did just have a PRS check that's taken 15 years to come through.
Go on, how much?
$3,000. 15 years, though.
No! Oh, that's terrible!
Come on.
It's terrible!
15 years! 15 years! I was like, oh, my old manager's getting back in touch. I'm thinking, here we go!
Sorry.
I mean, it's not to be sniffed at, don't get me wrong, but if you look at what we sold...
Yo, God!
Come on.
The arena tour, that was...
Not bitter, better.
Here we go.
Yes, exactly.
The arena tour, that was big, though. It's going to be... It's going to be a handful of dates, and it went nuts.
Yeah.
The country loved you. That was the thing for a while.
For a short time.
Here comes Alan Caddick. For a short time, the country loved you, and everybody was on your side.
Yeah,
that must have. I take that back. Was that good feeling? It was really scary. Scary.
Yeah, of course, because it's like you're locked in a house, and then you step out the next day when they announced who we are, and Trevor McDonald is on the news. And he's telling everybody, you know, oh, Hearsay, are these people? And you're like, what? It literally changed your life overnight. And you're not seeing your family. You're not like, there was no connection. So you're just getting, you're just surrounded by people, you know, people who you don't even know. They're just there to make the money off you. It's looking back on it, it was a crazy time. I don't want to sound like I'm being down on it because it was an amazing, unique experience. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. And the performance side of things for me will never be topped, you know, like abseiling down from Wembley roof, you know, looking like we've jumped out of a helicopter that we've shot because we've got, you know, like it was amazing. The tour was amazing, and I got to share it, you know. I made Susie is one of my best friends still. I'm godfather to her beautiful boys.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Yeah, and she was best man at my wedding. She organised my stag do, like she, you know, like.
Oh, that's lovely.
So even just for that, now I look back on that as one of the most like what an amazing thing to get out of that, you know, that friendship.
We need to take a quick break. Alan, you're very welcome to come on 0344 499 1000. We got singer, entertainer, performer Noel Sullivan in the studio. This is Talk Radio.
The wild man of late night radio.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Ideal of that. You wait. Oh, there we go, sorry. Yes! We weren't listening! We weren't listening and we nearly got busted.
I was
Catherine
waiting.
Shut up. But she shut up, but she didn't say, lads, no. I want to stop talking about
that. I thought you were going to get to the good stuff.
She was enjoying that. She was like,
she's
yes.
Old school BBC. Entrapment.
See it. Now I know. No.
We're kind of jumping. We've got Noel Sullivan in. Some of you will remember him from Hearsay. Yeah, give Alan a call back. We'll get Alan. I'm sure Noel would love to talk to him. We mentioned Alan before the show. Okay, so how long was the bubble?
The bubble from start to finish?
It was a short one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, publicly, about a year and a half.
Was that all it was?
Yeah, for us, it was about two and a half. Yeah, two years. 18? I don't know.
Well, no,
I'm saying it with such conviction. No, yes, I think it was... No, I haven't got a clue.
You felt like a proper pop band, you know, within a couple of months.
Well, the thing is, we were so saturated, weren't we? So, like, if you imagine every media form... Yeah. Just talking about us all the time. There is nowhere for that to go. There was never any take. You know, if you win X Factor now, they take you away for a year and sort you out properly. Any like stylist or music choices, or it was all happening in front of everyone. You know,
so which is perhaps why Liberty X, who were formed from the people that didn't make ESA, perhaps had a slightly longer pop career because they weren't being thrust everywhere by ITV and the machine.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, they went away and they got Virgin got hold of them and made them into that band, but then equally they just did a load of covers. So were they in a better position than us in the long term? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess for the people that came after you, it's a bit like being the younger siblings, right? They can see what happened to you. Little lessons are being learned all the time.
Of course, yeah.
So each time it gets slightly better for them, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, you think that Pop Stars The Rivals, which was the next version of Pop Stars, which came after Pop Idol, was Girls Aloud and One True Voice.
Right.
And the poor boys, they were the first, like, proper thrown into the abyss, I think.
Yeah. Oh, they were the sacrificed, totally.
Yeah.
First time you're on Top of the Pops. What was that like? Was that a thing? Was that a thing for you?
Yeah, of course. It's still a thing for me. Yeah. I still show off about that.
As you should.
Yeah, of course. Top of the Pops. We were on there all the time.
I was watching a load today.
And you look. I look back at those videos. I'm like, look at us. Like, we're such babies, you know. Top of the Pops. Ant and Dec.
Was
SMTV? SMTV Live, Chums, all of that. When you got a script and you were in Chums, you were
Here's the thing about SMTV. By that time, I was in my 20s. When 20-somethings were watching it, wasn't a kids' programme.
Yeah, because it was proper hangover TV, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I loved it. You could watch all the pop acts on CD UK and all that stuff.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was just great. We literally lived in that building.
What was interesting, and I sensed the change, but I didn't know it was quite so toxic until I was reading up on it today, is when Kim Marsh left... What's interesting about Hearsay is it follows pretty much step for step the pop band story, but compressed. Compressed. Yeah. Normal pop band story, maybe 4 or 5 years. Yours, it was that, and everything happened so quickly. So Kim leaves for whatever reason, and you could have either gone on as a four piece, but you decided to get someone else. And there was that. I remember that show where you were auditioning.
Horrible.
But it was horrible. It was like a market version of Pop Stars, wasn't it? It was like a cheaper. Was it just on
ITV2?
Yeah. It was like a cheaper version of it, wasn't it? Yeah. I remember thinking, okay, this is going to be an interesting storm.
And you know that you don't want to do it. You've said you don't want to do it, but they're
all forced into it.
Yeah, they're cracking
on. Did you have any say in your career at that point?
No.
They came in and said, right, you got this.
No, I remember even saying, like, they wanted to go with the single off the second record to everybody, and I hated it. I was like, this is so dry. It sounds like, it sounded like a song by Five.
It sounded like Five.
It sounded like that, but also, like, so the Mel C, Bryan Adams duet. Like the same chord structure as that as well. And I was just like, this is dry. Come on. Like, we could do something better than this. And there were some really good tracks on that second album, I thought. But they didn't see the light of day in the end. So, it didn't matter. Our opinions didn't matter.
No. And that was set out from the start, wasn't it? It was, if you don't like it, you can jog on.
And that's not what we were there for. We weren't there to be, like, creative artists. No. But then, having had that experience when you're 20, when comes the point when you're allowed to call yourself an artist? Like, it's taken me up until last year to realise that I was. That because I didn't feel like I could own that because I was from a pop band and I was being told all the time that you're not worth anything because you were in a pop band.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy. Because your career since then is something you've built brick by brick. You own it and you deserve to be proud of it.
Yeah. It's been looking back on it now when I read my own, you know, when I have to hand in my CV for stuff and I'm just like...
yeah, I have put in the hours now, yeah. and it is something that can't be like taken away from me.
Let's get there in a minute, because I just want to get on. This is kind of getting to the end of the hearsay thing, because when the fifth member, it was Johnny,
yes,
somebody who'd been a dancer,
yeah,
in the band, and suddenly that was the moment the public turned. The media turned, and then inevitably the public, yeah, turned, because, yeah, people started screaming, fix.
Yeah.
This is a fix. It's one of their mates. And I remember watching and thinking, I'd say I like pop bands. I like pop bands. I like watching them. It suddenly got really, really nasty from the outside,
yes,
with people, nation's favourites, suddenly now you're cheats and you're liars and you're scam artists.
Yeah.
Did you feel that
from where you guys were? Yeah, we had like proper Daphne and Celeste moments where we'd be singing at Radio Row shows and they'd be chucking cash, you know, like pennies and stuff at you. And you'd be like dodging them or like...
Really?
Yeah.
And, like, hang on, this decision that had been made probably, I'm imagining, completely over your head, as everything else was, was suddenly put on your door.
But then the press sentiment had switched as well. Right. It was all
That's about, like, thing.
They started, like, digging up on stories about our families and about our pasts and about, you know, and you're just thinking, everyone's kids at that point, all they've done is ridiculous teenage stuff that is going to sound really terrible.
Yeah.
But also, that's all we've done in our lives, so that's the biggest moments in your whole lives that are being exposed every Sunday.
Oh, teenagers shagging and taking drugs.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Mind blown.
Yeah, but you think you it's fine now. I'm like a man and I can look back on it and go, yeah, everybody's doing that. It doesn't matter. But when it's your own personal secrets for the first time and you're thinking, I don't want my nan to read that.
Yeah.
I don't want my mum to meet.
I didn't
get into this for that side of things. I don't court publicity. I'm not out there on red carpets. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm like just getting on with my job. So how did that work?
How did it end? Did the core four of you, the five of you, go, we're done?
Yes.
Did the contract end?
No. It was basically, we went out to America to record some stuff and things got all a bit like, just all a bit, it was all fractured anyway, and it all kind of came to a bit of a head whilst we were out in the States. And then when we got back to London, we had a meeting and we're just like, the only thing we can do now, like, is it worth just dragging ourselves through this for the sake of pop music,
right,
and feeling this pain? Or do we just club together and say we're not having it anymore? And we didn't tell our manager. We just phoned the Sun and said we're
wow.
So do you know what? Ironically, that thing they've been saying to you all along, if you don't like it, you can stop.
Yeah. And we
as
did.
A threat, you went, do you know what? We'll take you up on that because this isn't worth
who?
It.
Yeah, and you know, and it was, that's the only thing for me that I'll say is the best part, is that the end was our decision.
You took control.
Yeah. And it was the best thing we ever did.
Who phoned the Sun? Was it one of you, or did you have it on speakerphone?
I can't remember.
That's an incredibly bold, you know, grabbing back the power.
Yeah, I think it was, it was like just it's all a bit of a first
of course
that
it
time.
Is.
Do you know
of course
what I mean?
It is.
Because it's still quite a... Yeah, it's not something that...
And
it is at that period I haven't, like, revisited very much.
And are you cool talking about it? Is it not too painful or anything?
No, I've just had... Yeah,
and
it's
we
just
are
one of those
get
days.
On to this, I know you've been through a lot recently. We are going to get onto the hugely successful career. You haven't stopped working in the last 10, 12, 13 years. But we were talking during the break, that period after any pop band goes, you're dirt, you know.
Yeah.
No one wants a former pop star for a year.
And as much as the public like a success story, they do
in
love,
this country, they love
kids that have been blown. Look at them, they thought they were
rich.
And
you know, I went back to Cardiff and, like, my hometown is not an easy place. Like, I love it dearly. It's made me who I am. I love Wales. But to go back, it's a vicious place on a weekend anyway, I got into so many, like, scuffles, and that's totally not me either. Like, you know, people look for it from you. People want you to be up your ass. Do you know what I mean? They want you to, so they can say,
well, it's that idiot
I saw
telly,
him and he was a...
Yeah, exactly.
So, I had loads of that. Loads
also,
of, like,
the number of encounters... I've heard people say to me, oh, I met such and such and they were an idiot. Where'd you meet them? Oh, it was in a queue at a thing. Right, so you spent 2 minutes with them and you've based that 2 minutes when who knows what was happened before. Who knows what's going on. Like, that 2 minutes where they might have been a bit short or didn't want a picture or whatever, you've got from that they're an idiot and they're a dick.
Here's something else I've noticed. People who are not used to seeing people that they see on the telly have one of two... Well, all right, maybe three reactions. One, not saying anything at all. Two, being really nice to you. Three, they desperately want your attention somehow, so they just pick on you for some, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, aggression.
Yeah. I didn't. That part of it for me, like, that probably scared me into pursuit. You know, like, for the next part of my career, I didn't know what to do because I was scared of trying to pursue that because it felt like such a scary thing at that time. You didn't, and then the social life goes out the window because you don't want to leave the house and everything else tumbles
down.
Did
you think about jacking it all in? I don't mean killing yourself. I mean, maybe you did as well. Maybe you did
yes.
Well. But the career, did you think, do you know what? Well, that's done. I'm going to go and get a nice office job now. And
No, because I only knew music.
Yeah.
Like, it was my passion. I'd been singing since I was six. It was my only... is the only way I knew joy, really, you know. And actually, it was getting... I decided to represent myself for a little while afterwards because I didn't trust anyone.
No,
basically.
And also, you've just got the power back. You don't want to give it to someone else.
Exactly, exactly. So my first job was I went out to play Danny Zuko in Greece at the Jersey Opera House for a summer season.
Wow.
And I worked... My Sandy was Claire Buckfield, who is... She used to go out with Deck.
Yes, I remember her.
Remember? She was in 2.4 Children.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Her and Julie, and they were in Grange Hill.
Yeah.
All that stuff. But Claire was in the show with me, and I just... She was great because she'd had so much experience, and I remember going there really, like, really scared, and then feeling the warmth of a theatre cast for the first time. They are just... They're misfits and they're bonkers and they've all had, like... They were all the weird kids at school who nobody wanted to hang around with because they were dancing and singing all the time. But actually, before it was cool to do that.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm loving this. Noel Sullivan is here, and ladies and gentlemen, so is Mr. Alan Caddick.
Hi, Mark. Hello.
Hi, Alan.
I remember seeing you at the Ennis Hearing in September 2001.
Wow.
You remember him, right?
Yeah.
And how much did you pay for a ticket, Alan?
It was a college trip.
Oh, okay. So, I've got to check. Are you calling for a refund? Were you disappointed with the performance?
No, I was a big Hearsay fan.
Yes. Well, it's really good because I haven't got the cash to give it back to you anyway.
You got £3,000 the other day, young man. We know exactly how. We know literally how much money you have got. Do you want to chastise him for murdering Monday by the Mamas and the Papas? Is that what you're calling in for, Alan?
No, I'm asking him a serious question.
Oh, you've got a question. Okay.
Serious
then.
Question time.
All right.
Have you ever thought about going into soaps like Kim in and Koi or Suzanne in Emmerdale?
Going into soaps, because that's how TV works. You think about it.
Yeah, and then it happens.
You just have to ring them up and say, I'm ready now.
Yeah. I have auditioned for a couple of soaps, actually, and I've never got them. So.
Publicum?
No, I can't speak
Welsh. You racist.
I can't. What did you call me? I don't think you got your pronunciation quite right there. I have auditioned for some. I haven't got them. Yeah, there you go.
Well, Alan, do you know any producers of, like, EastEnders or Emmerdale that can maybe help Noel?
Maybe Kate Oakes.
Kate Oakes? Who is Kate Oakes?
I think she's a lady in charge at EastEnders now.
Right, have you got Kate
Oakes' email?
Yeah. What's her number, Alan?
I don't know her
Well,
number.
You're a fat lot of good you are, mate. Sorry, no, I thought we had a sniff of a gig there. Thought it was we were going to get you a job, get you back on the telly. Now you've been back on the telly, you were saying. Welcome to my world. This is our flipping job,
oh
mate.
Oh, my God.
How dare you laugh?
What a job you've got.
This is how we feed our kids.
I'm just jealous.
By the way, you're welcome anytime you want.
Thank
I love you,
mate.
I've
Thank
always
you
been
so
a big
much.
Fan of yours. Oh, I knew we'd
Likewise,
get on.
Likewise, mate. Oh, do you know, I loved Not the 9 o'clock News. When
Well, that's good, because I wasn't on it, mate. I was on the 11 o'clock show.
Kicked it.
You hear that, Suzanne? You hear that, Suzanne? We tried to get you, Suzanne.
No.
We got blocked, so we went, let's go for second best. But Danny said no. So we got Noel instead. You hear that, Suzanne?
Oh, my God, the shame of it all.
Yeah, the shame
that's
of
like,
it.
That's like when don't people say,
Yeah. Don't worry. But you are acting. You're just telling us
that
you're in a big TV show.
I am,
but
are you allowed to
talk about it?
I don't know. But I've already we talked about it now anyway. It's a new Russell T Davis drama.
Oh,
on BBC One.
That's the Doctor Who man, right?
Yes, and the Queer as Folk man.
Right.
So he's written a new drama which is amazing. And
is it gay people travelling through time?
No, but there are gay people in it.
Okay.
Gay people travelling through time is the other one with John Barrowman.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Torchwood.
Torchwood. That's it. Yeah.
actually really like that.
Touch wood, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Very good.
<That's> the thing. all kinds of stuff happens in that TARDIS.
Yes.
So basically...
TARDIS with a glory hole. Imagine. I don't think you can say glory hole on British radio. Let's move on, Noel. You've lowered the tone. I wish we'd got you, Suzanne. I really do.
I'll start writing the email now.
Yes. I hope she hasn't messaged. Maybe she's not listening.
She's listening to Talk Sport.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, he knows a lot about Chelsea. I mean, this is incredible. Go on, try.
So back to the... What were I talking about?
Russell T. Davis.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Russell T. Davis. So it's called Years and Years. I think it's coming out in May sometime, but it's about a family in Manchester, and it's set like in the not too distant future, when a kind of geopolitics has gone kind of right wing and a bit nuts. And
what do you mean gone? It's with air.
Well,
I voted Brexit.
Okay, but even more so. Okay, it's like what's going to happen in 20 years time.
Yeah,
and there's some really. It's really interesting. Technology is a bit crazy in it, and it's a bit kind of dystopian, you know, in its way. But I just feature a few scenes in the first episode.
But is this your first TV acting?
No,
thing?
You've done others. I did another BBC drama about 2 years ago called Ordinary Lies, which is the second series of Ordinary Lies, where I played a forklift truck driver lad.
Okay. What?
Yeah, wow. I had to learn how to.
Did you do it?
Yeah. Basically, if this all goes to south, I can go and get a job in Costco.
Skills. Transferable skills is what it's all about.
I've got it all going on. Yeah, you're going to find some clips of that. I've done a couple of good TV, you know.
Yeah.
Some quality stuff, which is, it's hard, isn't it? Because those gigs are so few and far between. But if I keep just kind of... cracking on
and
with
what's
others.
This? You're one of the 12 Irish tenors, I believe.
I was.
Is that correct?
How many of the 12 Irish tenors were actually from Ireland?
None. The majority were Australian.
Oh.
And there's an amazing clip. I'll see if I can find it. It's on one of my friends' Facebook.
Did you have to sing with an Irish accent?
Yeah. Irish eyes are smiling, all the world looks bright and gay.
Yeah,
there's not an accent I can. It's like one of my special skills, but not now.
I think we should be continuing the rest of the conversation in this accent.
Well, we can if you want. That'll be fine. So basically,
I'd like that too.
Maybe not.
All right.
That was all going so well.
There we go.
There's a clip on one of my friends' Facebook. We basically went to a morning breakfast show in Nevada.
Yeah.
A news show. You know, you can imagine the type. Like purple, kind of. Well, a bit like this studio.
Yeah.
You can make it purple if you want.
Yeah. Oh, can you change the light colour?
Yeah. Kath doesn't know how this works, though. So good luck.
Yeah, and also rubbish radio.
Yeah.
She's changing it now. It's.
Yeah, but you had it. There we go.
Okay. Now I'm back in the zone. So basically, they took the 12 of us to this studio with a boombox and a CD.
Oh no.
And they were like, right, okay. So we did the first song, and then the presenter's like, I'm the biggest fan. You know, I've been to see the show so many times. You guys are great. Go and see them at the El Dorado Casino. And then they go, you're going to sing When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. And only eight of the 12 Irish tenors sang it in the actual show. So I went, oh, mate, we don't know the words for this. And they were like, well, just sing the choruses. And I was like, well, what do we do for the song? Like, what? Anyway, they didn't. We had to stand there. And there's this amazing clip where... The song starts and everyone starts swaying and they all start singing Hell for Leather, and it gets down to four of us on the end and we have lost it completely. Like, for the whole song, we're just like, and I'm going to the boys, like, keep smiling. It's glorious.
Wow.
I'll have to send you.
Send it to us. Now, I can't quite remember how it came into my timeline, but you wrote a thing I saw it a couple of weeks ago about mental health.
It was last week.
Last week.
Yeah.
And about how you've been struggling recently, but you'd kind of turned a corner and things were looking better and you felt that you were on the up again.
Yeah.
How are you? I guess it's the basic thing.
Yeah, I'm good. It's always hard, I think. But the more work you do on it,
I think the better it becomes, because you start to be able to feel, to understand it a little bit more. For years, there was just constant noise in my head, and it wasn't always good noise, and I didn't know how to turn it off. And there were loads of factors. There were loads of stuff from my, I had a lot of kind of traumatic events from my childhood, a lot of things that I probably should have addressed around the time that you would usually address kind of turning into adulthood, maybe at university, my sexuality being a massive one of those.
You were told to keep it quiet that you were gay.
Yeah, well, I was at a time when I didn't really know. I was still kind of, I was calling myself bi, and I was 18, and, and I was in Ibiza. God. at that time in my life, anything.
Loving it.
Yeah, exactly.
Loving
it. I just didn't care.
Good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
At that time as well, sort of, the turn, the late 90s, early 2000s, it was all about sexual experimentation. You didn't have to choose, did you, at that point?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, I'd grown up in Cardiff during the 90s, where there was really not much outlet for that kind of stuff. I found my love in the darkness, in clubs and just like there was no social way of being gay apart from underground at that time for me. And so it always felt like it was always connected to like booze and drugs and just meaningless sex and all that stuff, to kind of, because that's how it was discovered, which is not the right way for anyone to
discover
love.
Wasn't loving. Yeah,
exactly. But you don't understand that. I didn't understand that. So that's all part of like my crazy head. And then you chuck hearsay on top of that, and then they tell you. I told them in the auditions that I don't know what I am, but I've had these experiences, and they came to me and they were like, if you want to be in this, you don't discuss this anymore. But from a TV perspective, I can understand it's like a multi-million pound thing that they don't know if it's gonna,
Isn't that funny? You're still justifying it.
Yeah.
You're still justifying. I'm not criticising you for it at all.
I know it's wrong, but I can see their point. Like, that's what I'm saying. I know, like, it damaged me, but I know why. If you're a business and you want to make sure that this thing is going to be perfect, like, I know it. Yeah, I shouldn't justify it.
I don't want to do all the work that you've done recently with your therapist, so I'm not criticising.
No, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I shouldn't just... It is completely wrong and it shouldn't be allowed, but I get
it. You telling them that should have been their cue to, right, okay, let's protect you.
Yeah, of course, but yeah, and it was just like, shut up. Yeah, and they tried to use it a little bit later. Oh, it's so boring. But I've just found that whole time a damaging time, really, because at that age where you're supposed to be exploring yourself and... wearing crazy clothes and I don't know, whatever it is that you do as a teenager,
making mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. They package you up and they tell you what to wear, what to say, and who to be. And that was, for me, that was the most damaging thing ever. And I don't ever think I understood it fully for ages, because then you go into that, the next step, which was the hatred from the public, and then you're dealing with all of that, and you don't have time to, and then you're just burying all of these feelings and just not enjoying yourself. So it's taken a long time. Then there's the financial worries and all of that stuff, and getting a career for yourself that you feel like you have to hold on to with both hands. And so my mental health never was at the top of my list of priorities for years and years and years. And actually, it was meeting my partner, James, my husband. He's the first person really who has allowed, he took the reins for me and allowed me to not have to worry about money for the first time. I kind of burnt out in musical theatre because it was so, it absorbs so much of your energy. And I got to the point where I felt like I wasn't doing it justice because I wasn't happy. Mm. And I was like, I've got the best job in the world. Why don't I feel happy? And I know it started affecting my, it was affecting our relationship and all that kind of stuff. And he has allowed me to have that breath and it all came to a head last Christmas, basically. And some guy came up to me in a pub and was like, and I wasn't ready for it. And he said, will you come out for a drink? And I was like, I'm not really in the mood, but I went anyway. And I felt like a superhero without my cape on, I'd just been on the sofa for the afternoon. And this guy came up and went, oh, you're that guy from here. Say, what, you still doing all that singing and that? And it's so stupid. It's such a little thing. But I wasn't ready, and it was like an arrow through my armor.
Yeah,
and I know it's stupid, but I was like, I feel like I have to justify myself to you, and I got really upset, and I walked out the pub, I burst into tears, and I just lost my shit.
It's not stupid at all, because what you're talking about is a drip, drip, drip over years, and that guy got you right at the moment when you were the
broke the dam, and I rang my mum, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore, like. I don't know how to cope anymore, and I don't want to feel like this anymore. So I went to the doctor and said all of this, and then, you know, went on the waiting list for therapy and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, slowly but surely kind of built myself back up. But it's been, yeah, the last year. Oh, and what's amazing about it is that I have had these beautiful creative moments because I've had this space to think. Like, I've done some nice work and I've been writing, and things that I never knew that I wanted to do, I'm exploring. And it's all part of this process.
Do you think it was a breakdown or a breakthrough?
It was a breakdown. And then I think, getting back was the breakthrough. And I was sitting on a beach in Thailand last week with my husband, having had, you know, this amazing experience of teaching and passing on my knowledge for the first time in my
life. How many kids were you teaching?
So we put on a Queen concert in Jakarta at the British School in Jakarta with 288 kids, dear 12 God. Groups. We did Don't Stop Me Now with Year 8. Which I, you know, it's like a bunch of 12-year-olds who don't want to be there. But we made them, you know, then we had them dancing.
Yeah, it was great.
We'd done this. I'd never done it before. My James is a choreographer and a teacher and a wonderful dancer. So it was, so he's used to doing it and also really gobby. So, like, I'm just used to seeing him take control of rooms. So it was nice to put myself in that position. Anyway, we got to Thailand and I was just on the beach and I was just like, I've come so far, like, and I haven't discussed it. And I think part of your healing as well is sharing it, because then you realise it's not a dirty little secret. Your sexuality is not a dirty little secret. Your crazy thoughts are not a dirty little secret. If you let them out and you share them, you realise that there are loads of people in the same space as you, the same, like, they need help too, or they don't need help, or they can help you because they've been through it, and the minute you start talking about it, the more, like, I've just found it so, so amazing, like, the messages I've had from people who I've known for years, and they go, I had no idea you were dealing with that. Well, of course not, because I'm like a joker face. I put on the smiles and everything's okay, but it's not okay. And my point was, I think it's now more than ever so important to just tell people when you're not okay, because, you know, you could just get washed away. And
too many people are dying.
Yes.
Too many people are dying when actually they don't need to. And I don't know how close you came to it. I've certainly come very, very close to it. You know, I've looked it in the face. And we're here tonight. You're here tonight because of that post. So I'm really glad that you wrote it. So,
yeah, and thanks for reaching out. It's amazing.
Like, hey, listen, we're kind of out of time. You are doing a show April the 19th.
Yes, I am, in Cardiff.
Where is that? What is that?
Okay, so it's at the Wales Millennium Centre, which is the most brilliant place in Cardiff. And I'm doing my one-man cabaret called If You Don't Know Me By Now.
I love it.
I want to see it.
I thought I'll just, like, set it up for the next show. I'll just do Noel puns for the whole thing. So basically it's a journey through, like, my musical influences and the shows that I've been in and the music I was brought up on and music that I'm a fan of. And I just talk like this, really.
Wicked. Well, I could sit and listen to you all night. If you do one anywhere near or a night that we can get to, we would both love to come.
I will let you know.
Where's the best place to get tickets? We'll follow you on Twitter or go to the Wells
site? You can get tickets on the Wells Millennium website, Millennium Centre website.
And you are the Noel Sullivan on Twitter, is it?
At the Noel Sullivan on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey, man, it's so nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Honestly, we're not just saying this for bullshine purposes. Anytime you want to come back, you're in town, you want to pop in for an hour, you'd be very, very welcome.
Thanks,
I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting and listening to you.
Thank you.
I think you're one of the good guys, so hang in there. We will carry on with your phone calls in a bit. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I may have just soured my already tenuous friendship with Catherine Ball. I sat here with a cup of coffee, half a cup of coffee, and it's quite cool now. And I put my headphones on as we were coming out of the break, and I held my coffee cup, and I just had an overwhelming... an overwhelming feeling. So I took my headphones off, and before we came back, I said to Catherine, I just had an overwhelming feeling to pick up this coffee and just throw it in your face. And here's what was confused me. You look really upset at that. But I'm telling you, I didn't do it.
And I'm telling you.
But why the hell would you do that?
I don't know. We are not our thoughts. These things just happen.
No, it's not that hot.
Would it be funny? Would be very funny. Would be shocking. But I'm... But
you're looking quite nice tonight, though, and I'd end up all drenched and smelly.
You...
Again.
Drenched and smelly, the Catherine Boyle story.
Two dwarves that got kicked out of the house.
But you have no right, to be upset with me. Because I didn't do it. Two
what
things.
Should we be doing is thanking you, is that right?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Flipping heck. Unbelievable. I want to talk about those protesters in a bit.
Oh, I want to talk about the dirty protest.
Which dirty protest?
That one that girl did.
Oh, we saw a girl doing the... All right, OK, fine. Yeah. All right, let's do this
just
first.
Just a minute.
Well remembered.
I'll never forget.
Oh, God. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Ian.
Michael, what can we do for you on this holiest of Tuesdays?
Well, on this holiest of Tuesdays, I spoke to you, long-time listener, second-time caller.
Oh, we've got the bell.
No, hang on, we've always got the bell.
Get it out.
Oh, all right.
Say it again.
Hang
on.
Go.
Say again, Michael.
Long-time listener, second-time caller.
Yes.
There we go. Always got the bell. The bell.
So here's the former. I say something serious, then we do a celebrity party guessing game.
Always got... Oh, this is the guy that does the crappy impressions.
Oh, what are you on about? It's just real celebrities. Nope. Anyway, first of all, I know I've missed the membership card thing because I listen normally on the podcast, so I'm listening to now on the live show.
Yep.
But for a fun fact...
Oh, look at him! Look at him! He's saying, "I know I've missed it. I know I've missed it, and I'm cool. I'm cool with that." If you want one, Michael, you ask for one.
Ian Lee.
Yes.
Please, maybe come up the membership club.
No, mate. Not a chance, buddy. Not a flip. You should have been listening last night. You chancer.
Also, I am the laminator. You ask me.
Yeah, although the laminating machine is in the boot of my car. But no, not a hope in... Not an H in H, I'm afraid, young man. Not an H in H.
Fun fact nonetheless. The deepest part of the ocean is over 7 miles deep. But this turns into a quiz. What is the name of that deepest part of the ocean?
Oh, isn't it called, like, Brent's Bend or something? No, it's called something...
No.
It's not far. It's something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's...
Ridge. Is it a ridge?
Yeah, keep going.
Slut drop.
Dick's Ridge.
The Mariana Trench.
Mariana Trench. Ridge? But Brent's Ridge is not far from Mariana's Trench.
It should be.
Absolutely.
Bit anyway. Like Tony's crack.
the same.
Yes. No, no membership cards. We're not doing a 5 minute frost over. What's it called?
Flurry.
Not doing 5 minute flurry.
anyway, back to the celebrity party I'm having tonight.
Oh, God.
Got another couple of celebrities. Only two this evening.
This bit embarrasses me so much. Makes my testicles shrivel.
So I'll just... You know the rules, yeah, remember?
Apparently.
So I'll just hand the phone over now and you get to guess who the first celebrity is.
Okay. If he hands the phone over, can we just go out?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Right, here you go. Why has all the rum gone? My black pearl.
Well, it's Captain Jack Sparrow saying the name of the ship.
Yes, it is. Yep.
I thought they said Blackpool.
That's Blackpool.
Okay, it's only one of my uncles.
Okay, now we're getting a bit obscure. Anyway, celebrities...
Blackpool's an exotic dance.
This is a Blackpool. Make-pool.
Yes, right. Okay.
Okay.
Not listening.
All right. You ready?
Please hurry
Just
up.
End this.
And nice to see you. To see you...
Great.
Too soon, mate. Too soon.
Too soon. Let's go to Mark. Good evening, Mark.
Oh, sorry, I just heard that somebody wanted to throw cold brown muck over somebody.
Oh, and that got you horny, did it, Mark?
Well, you know, it certainly got me at my boxers anyway.
Oh, dear God. This is disgusting. Some people are into that as well. Anyway,
Mark's boxes.
Let's move on, guys.
There's a lid for every pot, Mark. You'll be all right.
Let's keep it clean, guys. What have you got for us?
Well, I mainly called up because I was going to do something serious and then I was going to do an impression.
You've come to the right place.
And if you don't... if you can get this, you know... So... Black Pearl.
Right? It's better than the other guys. It's better than the other guy's impression. But it sounded like Jimmy Savile trying to do Jack Black.
It's better than sounding like Jimmy Savile doing a lot of other things.
Okay, all right. I don't even know what that means. Right, what do you want, Mark, before I cut you off?
Cut me off.
Okay, fine. Good evening, George.
Hi.
What a waste of calls so far.
Ian.
George.
Ian.
I don't think this one's going to be much better. Yes.
Ian.
George.
I'm not going to lie, you've annoyed me a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Excellent.
You've annoyed me about calling the Notre Dame something of about nothing. And I think...
Something of about nothing. I'm talking to an idiot, but okay, carry on. Here we go.
I think that's a bit disrespectful, mate.
To whom?
Huh?
To whom?
To what it is and what it's about.
Well, it's a building.
What is it, George? You explain it to us.
It's a lot of history there.
How much? How long?
Huh?
How much history, seeing as you're so impassioned? Tell us all about it. When was it built?
12th century.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Which year?
The 12th century.
That's not a year, but okay.
Come on, I think you're being harsh on the guy. He got the century right the second time, which is exactly the same as you, Catherine. So, come on.
I just think you just called it like a bit of bitch.
I didn't call it a bit of shit, if that's what you were about to say. I did not say...
No, I didn't say that.
That's what you were going to say. Listen, all I'm saying is, right, everyone, it's been rolling news, it's been on the radio, on the... Mate, get over it, right? It'll get fixed. A load of billionaires are putting a load of money in, right? People will go without heating, so that it'll get fixed. It's not that big a deal.
I think it is.
Well, tell me why.
Because I think at the end of the day, we've all been around for... Is he pinning me off?
No, that's because you said a cliche. It's the cliche bell.
All right, okay. Sweet. So at the end of the day, we're all going to be here, right?
Where?
This earth, and we're all going to leave. That is going to stay here for the rest of our lives.
Well, it hasn't, though. We can't mug it off. But it literally hasn't stayed here for the rest of our lives. It got burnt yesterday. I don't know if you saw the news.
But it stayed around longer than you have.
Well, yeah, it's a building, but now it's finished. Let's knock it down. Let's build some flats.
It's still there, to be fair. It's just not a lot of it.
What are you worrying about them?
George, it's George. George, the building. When was the last time you went there?
Never.
Thanks very much for your call, George. That's unfair. You can be passionate about building and not have been there before.
Yeah, he wasn't. He just wanted a rook.
I'm not saying it's nothing. You know, it's a great building. But I've been to Paris, I think, three times, maybe four. Maybe four, actually. And I've never been in it. I've seen it and gone, oh, yeah, it's Notre Dame. It's never appealed to me. I think it's beautiful. But I don't get the kind of the international grieving for it. As far as we're aware, I don't think anyone died. I believe a firefighter was injured, which is terrible, but I don't think anyone died. Most of the treasures were out. Hang on, is it Catholic?
Yes.
Well, the Pope can pay for it. I tell you what, the Pope can pay for it. The Pope, stand down some of your lawyers that you're using to protect paedophiles. Sell your ring that you won't let people kiss, and pray. Pray for money. I tell you what, Pope, pray for money from God to fix it. I've heard that this is what they need to do. They need to get one of those big, long things they have outside your local church saying, we need £25,000 to fix the roof. And it's always stuck on about 11 grand. Dear Pope, sell your ring. No. Sell the ring that men kiss.
The papal seal, yeah.
The papal seal, thank you. Sell the papal seal and pray to God. That should cover it.
You won't have to do that. They've got plenty of money, the Catholics.
Well, exactly. The Catholics should pay for the Catholic Church. The Pope should pay for it. If he did a few... here's the thing, right? If the Pope did a few Comic-Cons...
Flipping
right.
Wow.
Sat there next to, in between Sylvester McCoy and Peter Davison, and did, I reckon he could probably get 60 quid a picture. He's there for 3 days. He'd make enough to build a new Notre Dame. That's what I say. And everybody loves a dame. 0344 499 1000. I'm hard to disagree with. I'm hard to like.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So when I went round to the house the other day, my eldest said, Daddy, I really think we need to send our youngest to go and work for the army because he's just firing out toxic gas from his bum. But he said it in a real serious, he's firing out toxic gas from his bum, he needs to go and work for the army. Sorry, I had to apologize.
There's laws against that these
now,
days.
Here's the thing. We're driving in... So we're driving into London today and Catherine and I met up before to have a production meeting. And so she's in the car behind me, directly behind me. And because of these protests that are going on, Dave, I'll come to you in a second. Because of these protests that are going on, by the way, I want to thank the protesters for what they're doing. Genuinely, I want to thank them. It made it a bit longer to get home last night because the bridge I normally go over is closed. It made it about 25 minutes longer to come in tonight. Saving the planet for our kids. You were all moaning about it. I said, they're doing it for your kids, mate. They're doing it.
Well, I really wanted a wee.
They're doing it for the kids, to quote Robbie Williams, right? So I want to say, and this is genuine. I heard James having a childish, late 80s style rant about it. Genuinely, to the protesters, and there's been a lot of sneering at you guys and gals, a lot of laughing, a lot of naming and shaming. Thank you very much. Thank you for trying to make a difference. It's made me think about stuff. I'm going to read up on them a bit tomorrow because I don't know. What's this look for?
You're recycling.
Which I've started doing.
Have you?
Pretty much. I'm going to. No, I have, since my youngest did a play about recycling.
Oh, right. So I've been saying to you, just stick it in the... Honestly, you'd be surprised. You won't throw out...
Well, my local place won't take cardboard. You've got to put cardboard in a separate bin, and that annoys me. I think that's childish.
So as a process, you decided you weren't going to recycle anything.
Yeah, well, I've changed my mind.
Because of these guys.
Because of my youngest and because of these guys. If anyone from those guys is listening and wants to phone up and tell us exactly what it is you're protesting about, you will not get a rough ride, unless you're an idiot. We might then. But I would like to thank you for it. So 03444991000. They're doing the tubes tomorrow. It's going to be mayhem on the tubes, which is exciting. I think it's exciting. Peaceful protests, I think. It's not been any... I don't think there's been any argy-bargy. It's been a lot of arrests.
Arrests yesterday for vandalism and stuff.
Okay, well, that is out of order. A lot of the arrests are because the protesters aren't following the route that the police have agreed.
Mm.
That's what a lot of the arrests are about. Don't agree with the vandalism, please. Reel that in. That is naughty. That is very naughty.
Especially when you're talking about saving the environment, because...
Vandalism isn't... It's two different things.
It's not. To fix it.
It's not.
Yeah, it is a bit.
It's not really.
Yeah, it is, though.
I'm starting to come down on the side of the vandals, actually. Now.
Oh, right, OK.
It's like that,
it's
actually.
It's a matter of time. Anyway, we saw someone doing a very dirty protest.
Here's the thing. So we're driving.
Not a protester.
The bridge we were going over, we had to go a different way, and the sat-nav is taking me up towards Downing Street, and then we're going to get to kind of Westminster, Palace of Westminster, House of Commons, and then do a left. But that road was blocked, so traffic is kind of filtering through to the left, almost directly opposite the street, directly opposite Downing Street. And as we were at the traffic lights, I saw a gentleman with a shit haircut. It really was. It was awful.
Do you remember when Peter Andre was dead muscly, but he'd not had his nose done and stuff, and he had that very slicked down but spiked downwards haircut
that stopped about halfway down
over an undercut.
Half of his hair was undercut.
It was kind of that.
So there was this guy and he was with a lady, and I noticed something immediately about her fly was undone and it was bulging open, right?
They staggered across the road.
Ladies never have their flies open. Never happens. And I was like, okay, something's going on here. Something's not quite right. So they walked past, and then the cars sort of filtered round to the left a little bit, and I saw that they crossed back in front of me. Then they came back, and as they came back, going from my right to left, the woman, and you missed this, the woman was holding her gusset like
that. Oh, my God.
Proper grab. Sorry, Amy, you've got to see this. People have seen worse, actually, from me recently. But it was a proper grab of her gusset, and I thought, oh, here we go. Something is going on. So I've got the Bluetooth. So I start to phone Catherine, and she's holding the thing. And then they get to the pavement, and there's... How would you describe that kind of tunnel that have been built
right.
on the pavement?
You know, like some places...
Stay there, Dave.
In big towns and cities where they've got... Instead of scaffolding, they have kind of... They cover over the walkway, and they have kind of a half fence, but you can see from the waist up. So you can see the tops of people's heads as they walk through this
sort of
tunnel.
Pavement,
on the
yeah.
pavement, yeah.
So she then approaches that with her fella, and she's lifting her top up. She's lifting her top up above, up to sort of just under her breast. I thought, oh, something delicious is about to happen here. So then I got through to Kath, and then you saw her go down this tunnel, and you could see her. And then you could see her under her trousers, and then duck down. I said, Kath, if you look to your left, there's a woman doing a poo. There's a woman doing it. And this is like a busy street. There's traffic has stopped. It's a busy street. And she went, where? I said, look, you can see a bloke there, right, standing. If you keep watching, in about 2 minutes, you're going to see a woman bob up. And in the meantime, a woman went to walk, started walking down that tunnel, saw what was going on.
Recoiled.
Came back. And a bloke at the other end started going down and then saw it and then came out. I'm bibbing my horn, as I always do whenever I see anybody going to the toilet in public. On a motorway, or I always bib my horn. I just have to acknowledge the fun they're giving me. But they didn't look.
No, but because we were in stationary traffic, I said, right, don't you say anything, because he's on speakerphone, don't you say anything. I'm winding my window down because I wanted to have a good earwig what was going on. They were absolutely battered, as you can imagine.
Yep.
And the bloke was going something about paper, not a person of a paper.
This is over paper.
And I was thinking, she's doing a poo on the floor. She's not really bothered about like tidying up properly, is she? Paper. And then, the pièce de résistance. A hand came up from the depths.
Yep, yep.
With a tiny little half-empty bottle of Smirnoff vodka.
Absolutely.
She obviously needed both hands for something.
But she was down for a while, and then she came up, yeah, and she's down. But she was doing a poo.
She must have been. If you want paper...
It wasn't a piddle.
No, because if you're doing a wee in the street, you don't need paper. You just give it a shake.
The fact that she was holding so tightly means she was definitely trying to push something back up.
Oh, well, she might have already done one.
I think she might have pooed
her
pants.
She's laying it out.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
So tempted to go back and have a look, see what treasure there is. Brown treasure.
Flipping it.
Rusty treasure. It was incredible. And that is why I voted Brexit. To stop that filth. The scumbags. That was so funny.
Couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I mean, I've done a whittle in the street before. I know it's different for men.
Listen, the loo for the ladies, the queue is always longer, and I must say, and I'm not proud of this, ladies and gentlemen, but in my teenage years, I've been known to go out the back of the pub and maybe do a wee in the aisle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no harm in that.
But I wouldn't do it now, and I wouldn't do it in a crowded street. And
I wouldn't do it in the middle of the day.
She had jeans on, so she would have had to get her full bum out.
It was. I think she must have done it subtly.
She was empty.
Have you ever shat yourself? 03 44. You know I've done it once in a bed in Pakistan. 03 44 499 1000 is the phone number you speak to. You can change your name
if you want. You've heard about hit and run. Well,
Well. Dave and Andrew, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. This is the Late Night Alternative. It's on every weeknight from 10 with me, Ian Lee, and her, Catherine Boyle, only on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. Go. 0344 499 1000. Here we go. That's the song. 0344 499 1000. Now, cards on the table. I forgot my computer today, which is kind of okay, except I did loads of prep. 15 minutes I sat at my computer at home and found a few stories that we could talk about. And I even went as far as to email myself the links to some of them. To some of them, not all of them. But I don't have my computer with it. I've got my phone. I can kind of do it on my phone, but it's going to be clunky. So we'll see if they go. But then here's the thing. You're not in tomorrow, Catherine.
No.
For personal reasons. It's none of your business. It's none of your business. It's absolutely nothing to do with private and personal reasons. So just keep your beak out.
We're interring my grandma.
Okay. There you go. You see, you've been invited into Catherine's enclave.
And now get out.
Get out of her enclave. The enclave is closed.
It's private.
So, but I'm not going home tonight. I'm staying up all night. I'm staying at the kids' house tonight because I'm getting up at 6:30 with them tomorrow morning, all right? So I won't have a computer tomorrow night and I won't have you. Tonight I can go, hey, can you find this story about beards being dirtier than dogs? Can you actually find this story about beards being dirtier than dogs? But tomorrow I won't be able to say, can you find... by the way, I'm Ian Lee, this is Catherine Boyle.
Yeah.
I will not be able to say to you, can you find the story about beards being dirtier than dogs? Because you won't be here. We're just a week, just 7 days after the after I went crazy on air and smeared feces all over the wall and stabbed a member of the Talk radio team, I'm being allowed to fly solo again without a computer.
Do you want to borrow my computer?
No.
I'll lend it to you.
What for?
So you can use it.
Not tomorrow?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a dangerous game, Catherine.
Why?
That's a dangerous game. I wouldn't lend you my computer.
Well.
Actually, I would because I've cleaned the hard drive. Because I'm a new man now.
Okay,
I'm a new man.
My hard drive is virtually full. I don't think it works very well. So, yeah, go for it.
Are you logged in or out of Brazzers? No, I'm joking. That's a joke, guys. That's the kindest thing.
It isn't. I'm kind all the time.
No, let me finish. That's the kindest thing anyone's done to me in the last 2 minutes. Giving me your computer?
You're welcome.
For keeps?
No.
Wow. That's great. I will take your computer, yeah.
Not now.
I'll take it, yes. Thank you. There we go. I'll put that in my bag.
I'll tell you the password if you're lucky.
Oh, it's password protected. It's password protected. It's one of those. No, do you know what? We're going to do the show tomorrow without a comp. Doing the show tomorrow.
Seriously, you can borrow it.
Yep, seriously, I'm doing the show tomorrow.
Let's see how you feel after 3 hours.
We'll see how we feel after 3 minutes already. I'm struggling for material. 03-44-499-1000 is the phone number. The late night alternative, dear listener. You can call in about anything you want. Me and Kath are going to sit here and talk about our day, talk about bits and pieces and flights of fancy and whim and whimsy. 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 Quincy. We're going to talk about whim and Quincy. No, whim and whimsy. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And you are welcome to dive into our pool of delight. 03-44-499-1000. Or sit on the bank and shout abuse. Again, it's the same telephone number, 03-44-499-1000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So we went out there. And whatever it was had scuttled away, had gone. Right? It wasn't where it was. And so I was talking to Lucky and I said, all right, come on now, listen. It's cool that you're killing and stuff, but just either go for a quick kill or just don't kill at all. And then she was sniffing down by, it's got one of those, you know those things you put in a swing ball. It's one of those things. And she was sniffing down there. I said, it's not down there, my love. And then I looked and it was hiding under a leaf.
Oh.
Was another bird, the similar, identical bird to the one that she killed earlier. Identical. I said, oh, God. And I didn't touch it, but I lifted up the leaf. But here's the thing that was going on, right? The whole time we were at the back of the garden, there was a robin going mental.
Yeah, and we thought that it must have been that. And yeah. It was like hopping around. Yeah. And
we kept going, well, what, robin, go, shoo, don't come back for round two. Then we went in, and then we took the cat in, and we left the bird there. It's going to be dead. It's going to die of shock. It's going to die of shock. And we went in, and we Googled the bird that we had found. What was it?
Baby robin.
It was a baby robin. Right? It was a baby robin.
But it didn't look like one. It looked like a little fluffy
yellow.
Thrush type
It looked
thing.
Like a little canary, I thought. But it's kind of yellow. Identical to the bird it had killed today. So that family have lost two baby robins. Here is the important breakthrough I have made. This changes everything. This changes everything. How you cannot be a vegetarian after this, a vegan even, after this revelation, will heaven have pity on your souls. The robin was upset because its baby was in danger. Wouldn't leave. Would not leave. It was making a lot of noise trying to scare
the cat
away. There
were two at one point.
There were two, a mum and a dad. Trying to scare... We knew it was a dad because we could see it dinkle. We were trying to... Imagine if birds had dinkles.
They have somewhere, haven't they?
Well, no. They've got to be like a little pellet.
Have you ever seen a duck's
No, yeah, I have. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. So here's the thing. Nature has family structure that cares, that loves, that wants to protect its young. And you're still going to eat meat? You're still going to eat meat? Knowing what you now know, that animals are upset when their young are taken from them, tortured in front of them, and killed. This family have... Well, one bird is dead. The second one's going to die.
No.
The second one's going to die.
No.
I made the mistake of lifting up the leaf, so it's going to have my scent all over it. It can't fly, so they can't get... Once a baby bird falls out of a nest...
Well, it wasn't a little bald thing. I think it might be able to fly eventually. Don't say it can't.
I was talking about little bald things.
I know.
Can your little bald thing fly?
Oh, I yeah.
Okay, well...
There's power behind it.
Okay, so here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. You can't eat meat anymore. You can't. Can't eat lamb? Mama sheep watching baby sheep being taken away? You can't eat meat anymore. That's it. It's game over. Meat is verboten. It is off the menu.
Here's the other thing we noticed.
Yep.
We locked the cat in the house with us and we were watching her and she was like...
Oh.
A caged...
Yeah.
I mean, she is a caged
beast.
She's
turned. It's like she had her first hit a crack.
Yeah. She was... like steaming round the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Then she'd look at us. Then she'd go back to the cat flap, try and get out.
The cat flap.
Come back again, look at us accusingly.
Yeah.
It was like, you know when you see a bored tiger in a zoo, that pacing, around the perimeters, and then looking at us like, come on, you know I've seen it. I want to finish it off.
If there are any scientists listening, how do I get this into the Lancet? I want to get this into the Lancet. I have made a discovery. And if any of you scumbags steal it, I will shove a robin down your throat. This dead one, I'm going to shove this dead robin down your throat. I need to get this into the Lancet that I've discovered something pretty, pretty amazing. 0344 499 1000, so I need scientists to call in. And if you're a meat eater, how the hell can you justify your wickedness? This is Talk Radio.
Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
Oh, my word.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. We've got David, we've got Alan, but first of all, we've got Angela.
Hi, Ian, Catherine. You right?
Yes. Can I just say, Just Suze is sending me a series of very badly spelt tweets. I'll just pick one of them. Don't have cats then, Ian, because that's what they do. Oh, no, Suze, it's nature. I applaud my cat for doing it. At what point was I dismissive of the cat doing that? No, I'm glad they do it. I'm going to encourage... Please don't breathe so heavily, Angela. It's disgusting. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to encourage them to do it, Just Soothes. I'm glad they do it. It's nature at its rawest and its finest. It's the greatest show on earth and it's free, Soothes. So you go away, practice your spelling and then come back with a point that makes sense. Angela, let's just do this because I'm feeling a bit nauseous. Go on.
Yeah, I just want to just put a few things to you. Just the first one, you know, about my knee, I've been to the doctors today. Huh? And I have to have it shrinked if it doesn't calm down.
You have to have it shinned?
Shrinked, you know, the fluid taken out.
Syringed?
Yeah.
Okay, can you not just cut it and squeeze it?
Oh, no, don't.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't. No, I've had it done before. You put water on the knee, put it that way, something like that.
Can you drink it? I mean, if you were stuck in the desert and you were, like, desperate, I know how to suck off a tree. I do. I got taught how to suck off a tree to get the sap, the rising sap from a tree. I know exactly how to do it, mate.
Tap the sap.
You're in the woods, Catherine. What time of year is a good time to...
The sap is rising in spring.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And what would be a good tree to
a nice juicy one.
Yeah, okay, and that would be a silver birch.
Yeah.
If you're starving in the forest, right, and you can't boil up water to clean it, you've got to boil up water, I'm afraid. Can't just drink it. Can't just drink it from a puddle or from a stream. You've got to boil it up because of the microbes. If there's a tree, what you do, you wait till spring. Then you cut open the silver birch and you suck. You suck it hard. You suck it dry. And then you are satisfied.
Okay.
Okay. Away you go, Angela.
I just want to ask.
So I would suck your knee dry. If I was stuck in the desert and I was thirsty, I would prick your knee and I would suck it dry. lovely, juicy Angela water.
I've seen it. It's horrible.
Have you ever seen spinal fluid?
Yeah.
Not spinal fluid, spinal tap. I'm joking. Have you ever seen spinal fluid?
No, but I could check it on the internet if you want me to.
Okay. I don't want you to. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've held...
Is it orangey?
No, it's clear. I've held a vial. File?
Vial.
Vial. I've held a vial of my own spinal fluid. And boy, oh boy, I was sat there and I really wanted to rip the top off and drink it. But I know that the doctor would have been very, very angry with me because it took a long time to gather that juice.
Did he have plans for it? What was he going
to
do with it?
He was going to do tests on it to see if I had multiple sclerosis, Catherine. If you're going to make jokes about it. He was going to test it and was going to see if I had multiple sclerosis, MS, as we like to call it, as us guys like to call it, and gals. And he did do the test, and luckily for him, I didn't have MS. What I did have was severe nausea and migraines every time I tried to move for the next 6 days. It is the worst feeling. And he said, oh, you'll be fine by the morning. Flipping it. I had to lie on my back with my knees up. And if I move my head 2 degrees to the side, a headache, room spinning, awful.
Is it a similar process to an epidural?
It's much, much worse, because instead of putting in, they're taking out.
But did you feel it? Because I remember the epidural.
I remember the needle going in.
Did you hear it squeak?
Yeah, I heard the squeak.
That's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, Angela, these are all just options for you.
Okay, can I mention something else by you both?
Okay. Did they fix your ceiling, by the way?
Oh, that's what I'm coming to. It's nearly sort of done.
I think you were begging us for money.
And then this is where it gets weird. Oh.
Is it haunted? Is it a haunted ceiling? Is it being done by ghost builders?
Yeah.
Oh.
I've left them in a cupboard. Anyway, my mum texts me at 9, as she does.
Yeah, mum texts you at yours,
So, of course, I always go, buy a lot of stuff off Amazon when I get home. My room sorted out again.
Yes, of course.
So she says... She said,
you've got a wonderful accent. What's your heritage? Where are you from originally? She got
Leicester.
Leicester. You've got a lovely accent. Accent. Okay, continue. Continue.
She said, don't buy anything for your flat when she knows it's amazing, isn't it? And she said, it's coming for 2 weeks' time. So 2 weeks is May. And the way she worded it, that's not like my mum's texting. Well, you know when you know that...
When someone says, don't buy anything for your flat, I'll be over in 2 weeks' time, you know what that means, don't you?
No.
She's coming to murder you. No, she's bringing you stuff for your flat.
I know she is, but she calls it... She knows it's Maisonette.
Oh, who can... I couldn't even spell Maisonette. Why would... flat.
Yeah, just two S's, yeah.
Exactly. Two S's in flat.
But she spoke to me at 7:15. In the middle of, you know, when Midelle Farmhouse
is playing. In the middle of the night, I go walking in the street.
Do you find it's a little bit of a strange day?
No? So hang on, when did she text you? What time did she text you?
Well, she texted me 9 o'clock.
And then she phoned you at 7:15?
Yeah.
Not that strange?
Yeah, and I showed David...
This is the most unstrange story I've ever heard. You've got a loving mother who cares for you, wants to bring you stuff, and you think it's strange. What are you saying? Are you saying she's been possessed? Like that? Your mother sucks such and such in hell? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think so.
Wow, do you?
Even I showed my partner, and he said, that is a bit strange.
What? That your mum texted you and called you?
The text that I showed partner about what she said. She said that she don't work like that.
Well, so what you're saying, you think she's being held by jihadis? Have the jihadis got her? By the way, if anybody wants to do... This is a great idea for a spoof. The jihadis. J-I-H-A-D-E-E-S. Boom. Here we come. Do that. The jihadis. It's four jihadists who live in a house. They make rock and roll and they want to create a caliphate. Honestly, I would watch that. I would watch that. And one of them's really dumb. And one is like a, I don't know, like a, I don't know, I'm probably going to get myself in trouble. So I'm backing away from that sketch. I don't want anything to do with it.
Now you see why no one's done it.
If you don't want to do it. Do you remember when, after the Twin Towers, right, and Osama bin Laden became famous? And I remember it being pretty soon after that, that Frank Skinner had his own chat show and he did a spoof on You've Been Framed where it was all clips of him dressed up as Osama bin Laden, like knocking over missiles and stuff and tripping over soldiers and stuff like that. Quite soon after, and I remember thinking, well, that's Frank Skinner dead. Frank Skinner's going to get killed. And they might still do it. They might still do it. Because it's Osama bin Laden's son now, isn't it, who's in charge of those guys. Breathing very noisily there. Very noisily. Okay. Yeah. All right, Angela.
Ian, yep. See you soon.
Thank you. Try and breathe through the nose.
So that call there, she was talking about text message that was supposed to be from her mum, but it wasn't in her mum's tone of voice.
It was the jihadis. I don't know if you've seen it. It's brilliant. There's four of them, okay. And they're jihadists, okay. But they're like a rock and roll band, and they want to just create songs and create a caliphate. Very, very, it's very insensitive. I don't watch it. I don't, no, absolutely,
awful, yeah.
Absolutely nothing to do with me whatsoever. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.